much about.
Good morning, Reasons Why I Drink.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
In observance of Memorial Day, we will now honor the men and women who have served their country, protecting our freedom and our way of life, with a moment of silence. Thank you.
Dale Hart, Corey Hill. Set for round number 2. Fight scheduled for 3 5-minute rounds.
You ready? You ready? Fight!
Dale showing a lot of head movement. Eats a nice kick. Oh, Corey fell down. Oh, his leg's broken! His leg's broken! Oh,
stop the fight! The fight is all over. Corey Hill has suffered a broken leg.
And now. Our feature presentation.
That's funny. If you watch a lot of UFC fights, you can see Rogan sitting right next to the ring, along with Mike Goldberg, who's the is that the right name? The announcer?
Yeah.
And I've never heard him try to influence what's going on up in the ring.
Yeah.
Stop the fight! Like, he usually just comments on it. But
that was still one of the worst things anyone's ever seen on television, by the way.
It was almost... It was a guy who got kicked in the leg, and he sort of tried to block it or whatever, and it was a break that was so bad it looked cartoonish, though.
To me,
it almost was not that bad, because there's no way that happened.
It didn't look real.
Yeah, it looked...
His leg bent the other way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't at the knee, either.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It was sort of the shin, and it bent so far... the wrong way that you just look at it and go, I'm watching a cartoon.
Stop talking.
Okay.
Wow, that's what it finally took for you to say that to Kevin? I've said that to him hundreds of times.
It makes you want to throw up.
It does.
Yes, it does. It really does. You can't stop yourself. It feels like you've been kicked in the stomach when you see that. And I will tell you that just like with the famous, Joe Theismann breaking his leg in the NFL.
Can't watch it.
You have nightmares. I mean, it just occurs to you at the strangest times where you go, oh, man, I did see that. Ow, wow. I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, and if you've had a bad injury like that, like I broke my ankle pretty badly one time playing basketball, and instantaneously before I could hit the ground, I was sweating like, Shaq used to sweat. What I mean? And I felt like I had to throw up, and there was so much pain. I almost was in shock, like, I don't know that I can handle this. And from that second on, I can't watch ankles. They'll show a replay or something on TV, and I just have to look away.
You turn it off.
Yeah. I have to look away at least for a second, because it just... It makes me feel that sick all over again.
This is a good start to today's show, I think.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
my wife has had a lot of bad experiences with shots, hypodermic needle shots. And anytime it happens on a TV show, man, she just almost passes out when she sees when they do a close-up like on a house or something of somebody getting a shot.
Me too.
And if it comes on the screen in a hurry without any kind of warning that it's going to happen, oh, man, it kills her because she's accidentally sees it. It just is the same thing you're talking about. She has all those physical reactions to just seeing the needle going in.
I'm scared of needles too, which is, really scared of it. So anytime it's in a movie or TV show, I'm just like her. I have to cover my eyes. And then if I'm with anybody, I go, is it over?
That's exactly what she does.
But I can watch him play soccer with a guy's head in, what was that, Saw 2 or 3 or whatever?
Right. So whichever it doesn't movie, bother you.
The Hostel. Yeah, well, it's almost cartoonish again,
All right, speaking of Kevin, real quick before we move on to today's show, this was an amazing story that came out yesterday that totally made me think of you. Kevin, you were telling us a couple days ago about the fear you had when the green light came on your laptop computer.
Right.
Indicating that your webcam was on, and you checked and double-checked and triple-checked that you didn't have any programs going. You weren't trying to tape anything yourself. There was nothing going on that you were aware of that would make your camera come on, right?
Yeah, it's the video, for those of you who know, it's the video camera on your computer so that you
it's
can two-way
in, right.
Two-way chat and all that.
And you, so what'd you do? You put a piece of tape on it, so in the event that somebody was on the other side, they wouldn't be able to see you.
The computer technician has been arrested after police say he illegally installed software that let him spy on female customers. Police say 20-year-old Trevor Harwell was a tech at his father's computer company when he installed spyware to control his victim's webcams.
By the way, pretty sweet deal right there. right?
I guess,
theoretically, not in real life, not with real women, sure. But theoretically, yeah.
I guess he knows if they're hot before he installs it.
Exactly.
Because somebody gets an eyeful of me is like, whoa, no.
Mistake.
No. Through those cameras, he watched the women in their homes and dorm rooms. But investigators say criminals don't need physical access to your computer in order to install spyware. Many kinds can be sent through email.
Now, what about that? What about really? Maybe you don't even take your computer in, but yeah. You just, you know, you open up an email in, whereas you might expect to get the kind of virus that would harvest email addresses or passwords or, you know, sensitive bank information or something like that. Maybe what it does instead is it installs something that allows them to remotely access your webcam.
We need to do that for Lisa, by the way.
Well, we do, and B, I wonder if it's possible that something like that happened to you.
Oh, I imagine. I mean, I'm online a lot, but
right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Sometimes you open something that has a virus in it, which this would be, yet there's no indication. It's
right.
Not like something automatically goes wrong with your computer where you can tell you've been hacked or something.
Listen, I'm the king of sketchy programs and
sketchy links.
I'm a sketchy computer user to begin with, so I wouldn't doubt that happened.
Right.
So it's important to be aware of anything unusual or suspicious.
All right, so here's the expert, last clip, and this is a guy, I think he's with the Norton antivirus people.
Many of these cameras have little lights to indicate that they're on. If you see it on when you know you're not operating it, that's probably a pretty good warning sign that something's wrong and you ought to have the computer checked out.
What do you think now?
My God.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, I thought that originally.
I know, but did you really, really, really think it?
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, no. He said it's a good indication there's something wrong. You should have it checked. He didn't go as far as to say most likely someone's watching you.
Yeah, that's what he meant.
It could be,
But he also did say if the light is on and it shouldn't be, there's, you know, you should have it looked at because what other explanation is there? That's just, it's been troubling me ever since you told us that story because I couldn't figure out how it happened unless somebody else were involved.
There was a listener that sent me an email with some directions on how to reset. It's not the regular RAM, but some type of RAM that you hit this and then you push these two buttons, and then you fire it back up, and then sometimes it's that too. So it could have been nothing, or I could be on the internet right now.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, those instructions that he sent you, that's how he gets to also see your webcam.
Now he controls it. He just had me set it up because I'm an idiot. Yeah.
So good times, right?
Good times. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
So I didn't notice you there, son. You do not have a lot of charisma.
Correct. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the NBA finals tonight.
Yes. Yeah.
What a series this is. They might as well just, they could really literally just limit this series to the last 3 minutes. Just go out there, put 3 minutes on the clock, fourth quarter, 0-0. And just run it from there.
Wow.
And just see who can win the last 3 minutes of the game.
It's almost the last second shot in every game.
Yeah. Well, the last three games, I think, has literally been the game was decided on the last basket of the game. Yeah.
It's a great series.
Hey, that says to me that you've got, you know, maybe two teams that should be in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, no kidding. We might have to do this topic, too. Is there a person who looks less like he would be a good basketball player than Dirk Nowitzki? You know what I mean? Like he's got
a super dork.
He's got the Larry Bird thing, where if you put a bunch of guys in a lineup and you went, all right, who is the superstar of the NBA? You wouldn't give a second thought to Dirk Nowitzki or Larry Bird. You just look at him and you go, no, those guys are dorks. They wouldn't even be in the NBA.
Sounds pretty racist to me, man.
And he'll score 40 points. Sounds racist. What?
Well, because part of the reason he doesn't look like an NBA superstar is because he's so freaking white. That's why.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. We also have annoying coworkers. Now, I know
is this me again?
I know that Lisa, a lot of names just ran through Lisa's head. And I know Bean just thought it was him. But no, it is not. It's, it's Dave, the King of Mexico.
Oh, yes.
And it's been going on for a while. It's time to talk about it. And
is this him talking about Pendus all the time?
Oh, no.
Is this him talking about Heli?
No. By the way, Panda is Panda. Heli is Haley. It's just the way Dave says it. No, it's just weird things that you do. Maybe you sit in pretty close proximity to somebody else at work, and they have habits or things that they do that drive you crazy. And we might have to kill him. I don't know. I'm not positive, but we might have to. We have Kevin Pereira on the phone today talking about TwitPic and Twitter. I don't know if you've heard the latest on this. I'm not even sure I've heard the latest on this, but the latest that I was aware of is all those pictures you load up on Twitter, not yours, gone.
They can use them?
Not only can they use them, they can sell them and make money on it.
Not only can they use them, they can sell them and make money on them, Lisa, but you're not allowed to.
Right.
It's not like you co-own them.
You're kidding.
They own them. Yeah. So if you took a picture and then you decided, hey, that's awesome, I want to make it a t-shirt, you wouldn't be allowed to legally because they would own it.
How crazy is that?
Oh, I don't think so.
And it's a change. It's a change. It hasn't always been this way. It's a change. So we wanted to get somebody on that might be able to give us some information on that.
And yeah. Talk about some alternatives, too, because there are some.
Sure. Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
This Week in Rage. And we also have Dr. Drew on the program.
Yep.
Got a lot of questions for him.
Yeah.
And Johnny Knoxville will also be on today's Kevin and Bean
Show.
Wow.
How about that? Show.
You can finally get Jackass 3.5 on DVD.
Excellent.
So if watching it online over and over isn't enough, like me, then you can actually get the DVD. I believe it's coming out today. No, it can't be. Maybe next Tuesday. We'll talk to Johnny Knoxville about that. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Hello, everyone. How are you?
We are good.
Yes, hello, everyone.
And I hope your day is good. It's the world famous Key Rock at 550.
Oh, you're an embarrassment.
What's going on here, Ralph? What's happening? What's going on with our man? All right, party people, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. By the way, Ralph, I thought of you when I saw that it was 98 degrees in your hometown yesterday, and today the trains have stopped working. It's so hot there.
Really?
Yeah, they've had a heat wave for weeks now.
Second week of June, it's 98 degrees in Philadelphia.
They're suffering.
That's crazy time, right?
Suffering.
They're suffering all the time.
When I was in Boston, I was talking to some buddies, and they said, man, it is hot. It was hot in Boston, too. It's weird. The Eastern Seaboard's taken a beating already this summer with the heat. So
this is the craziest weather ever. I mean, I hate to say Al Gore might have been right about something, but something is going on. Yesterday, there were tornadoes reported like in Ontario or someplace. I mean, you never, ever hear about tornadoes in Canada. What's happening?
When I was filming Ted in Boston, there was two tornadoes that touched down right where we were filming. Outside of Springfield.
Sounds like they're all happening where Ralph is.
Yeah, Ralph's in Ontario right now.
I'm right there in Canada, living large in Canada. That's where I am.
I just think it's end times or something. I don't know what's happening here. But anyway, good to see you, man. What's going on in the Showbiz Beat this morning?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some passes to give away to the advanced screening of Green Lantern!
Yay!
In brightest day or blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light!
Does it disturb you that so many people hate you?
Nope.
How many superheroes have that kind of, what is it, a motto? What is it?
An oath?
An oath.
They take an oath?
How many of them?
I can only think of the one.
Just that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why? It's lame.
It's awesome. If you'd like to go, I'm looking for real Green Lantern fans to go to the very special advanced screening on Thursday, June the 16th. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday the 17th, but you'll get to call all your geek friends and say, saw it already.
Saw it.
Boring. Saw it already. Already on to the next thing. Here's your trivia question. Hal Jordan, who of course is the Green Lantern, as we all know.
Sure.
Hal Jordan was not only a very successful test pilot for Ferris Aircraft, but before that he was in the Air Force. He was a Top Gun type pilot.
Right.
In the military, obviously. What was his code name? You know how Tom Cruise was Maverick in Top Gun? What was Hal Jordan's code name when he was a pilot? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two people who get through with the correct answer, bum, passes.
Was it Dork?
No, it wasn't Dork.
Was it Dork?
That was your code name when you were flying with the Top Gun crew. Imagine being as a Top Gun.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It's too high up here. I'm not comfortable.
I can't fit in his seat.
I can't fit Tater Tot in the back. She won't stay checked in.
I go back seat.
I spilled my Slurpee in the cockpit.
Ralph, you weren't at the concert that we had on Saturday night, but Bean left, of course. So what we did, when we introduced Rise Against, we had Psycho Mike come out and be him,
mm-hmm.
and he did a full-on impression. I'm
I'm so happy there are a lot of little boys here. That was the first thing he said.
Mike, that's how you know it's beaten.
Launch into the pedophilia chunk. Katy Perry's contract writer. Remember we were giving her a hard time about that when it became public over on thesmokinggun.com?
Well, what did you say? It was 45
pages long.
Wow.
Including very special rules about what types of flowers are allowed to be in her dressing room. No carnations. Hydrangeas, preferably. If not, she'll put up with daisies and orchids.
Wow. I remember it made you like her less and me not like her any less than I already do because she's still Katy Perry.
Because you don't care.
But it was an obnoxious set of
rides. Sure was. Yeah.
The driver couldn't look at her in the eyes and couldn't touch her luggage. And
I was glad I wasn't a concert promoter, but I still love her.
She needed a six-pack of Fresca on ice and all these BS rules she had. Well, she has come out saying, oh, I had no idea I had all those rules in my contract rider.
I knew it was going to be some kind of manager.
My people have done it. Now I've told my management team, stop that with all those demands. Cut it out. I'm just a simple down-home girl. I don't need any special things. Don't do that anymore.
Hey, management team.
She lied.
I'm going to have to throw you under the bus on this one. So. Yeah.
Katy Perry swears she's not a diva. She says she's quite easygoing, and is just an entertainer, a simple entertainer at the end of the day. That's all. Okay.
That's what I choose to believe as well.
Yeah.
Ralph, I know she's on your S list, but is it true the report that came out yesterday that Rebecca Black is going to be in Katy Perry's new music
video? She already is. I've seen the footage. She's in
it's already out there?
Thank God It's Friday, whatever the next single is.
So did she lose even more points in your estimation?
Yep. It's all over.
That isn't
over
good for you.
You and Katy, that's a short-lived romance.
It's
right
all
there.
Done. Unless she gets a role in my new favorite Broadway musical that's in the works.
What's that?
New York Times announced.
Batman the Musical.
No. Rocky the Musical. How about Rocky the Musical?
Oh, my God.
Rocky Balboa the Musical.
That's one of those where you first hear it and you go, okay, listen, most likely that's going to suck.
Yeah, or it's going to be the greatest musical ever.
It's one or the other. It won't just be average.
Yo, Adrian! Come on!
Be awesome.
Oh, can't wait. You think people got hurt in Spider-Man Turn Out the Dark? Wait till the guys start getting punched in the face for Rocky Balboa the musical. Oh, apparently Stallone is hard at work with a writer churning out a script for a Rocky musical, which will be coming on Broadway on 2013. That's when they're shooting to get it up on the boards there in the Great White Way.
Really rushing it.
Hey, it takes a long time to get those things together.
Sure does. Just ask Spider-Man Turn Up the Dark. They still haven't opened. They've yet to open that musical.
Have not officially opened yet.
Yeah.
It's been played a year. Looking forward to opening sometime next week, I believe. They'll finally get around to opening.
But you know what? Look, it sounds like a dumb idea because it's a boxing movie, but it has continued to capture people's imagination. It continues to stay popular, well-regarded. It's got a built-in fan base. Why not?
You think I'm kidding when I'm saying I want to see it? I want it to happen.
Yeah.
I want to be in it. Cut me, Mick. You gotta cut me.
Some old dude is Mick singing back.
Blood coming out of my face. Awesome. And while we're in New York City watching Rocky Balboa the musical, how about Alec Baldwin for mayor? How about that?
For mayor? He's really running?
Mayor of New York City. Baldwin's representative, Matthew Hiltzik, told The Hollywood Reporter yesterday, I wouldn't rule it out.
Oh, so we don't know.
Well, he's considering it. He's at least considering a run for mayor. The move comes in response to the Anthony Weiner scandal. Apparently,
he thought, I can do that.
Baldwin believes that he's got a shot in politics if that guy can make it.
Look, don't you get the idea that there are 75 to 500 other people in high-ranking government jobs that are doing that kind of thing, just haven't been caught yet?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Look, most people on the planet are doing it, so why should the politicians be any different?
Yeah.
Right. Look, I'm a fan of Alec Baldwin as an actor. I think he's a very entertaining, very funny guy, very smart guy. I don't doubt his commitment. He's obviously been very outspoken politically for a number of years, but he's so far to the left that he doesn't appear to be the kind of guy who will go in the middle at all, and I think you need that in politics. I mean, if you're going to attract enough voters to get elected, I think you need to at least try to meet the other side in the middle. He won't do that.
No.
Look, with his name recognition and the way he's beloved in New York City, I think he could easily win. Now, whether he could do the job,
We'll have to wait and see. But I could, he could easily win that mayor's race.
Arnold won. What did that mean?
But he was a centrist, though. You know, he was able to bring people out from both sides to vote for him.
But when it comes to local politics, like mayor, really, it's just about keeping the trains running on time. You know, it's just about being a functional politician in terms of keeping everyone, you know, engaged. And, you know, Bloomberg and that's what they said about Giuliani, that he was too far to the right when he first started. And it's just about keeping the city running.
I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Keeping the garbage picked up and keeping the snow plows going. And that's what people care about when it comes to local government. So, I don't know. We'll see. Do we have an answer to my trivia question? I think Scott on line 3 knows what Hal Jordan's call sign was when he was a pilot in the Air Force. Scott?
Highball.
Yay!
This is Highball over.
Hal Highball Jordan, the Green Lantern. Congratulations, Scott. Hold on. We're going to email the details. Kevin, also on line 4. You're a winner as well. You're going to see the Green Lantern before anybody else on the 16th, the special Kevin Bean advance screening.
You want to give tickets to any of the girls that are on the... Oh, never mind.
It's going to be a sausage fest.
I'll tell you, in support of my claim that there are hot comic book chicks out there, a young lady sent me photos via email saying she was a comic book fan, and she sent me her photos, and I appreciated
it. There are always exceptions, sure.
Very much. I appreciated the photos that you sent me. By
yes, and Eminem is a white rapper, too.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 50 years old today. I'm going to shake him up a martini.
Oh, come on.
What? I'm going to give the guy a drink. I want to get the guy a drink. You
How
people.
How are you going to do that?
Aaron Sorkin.
Oh, come on. Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
Aaron Sorkin's a very talented writer. He is 50 years old today. Johnny Depp celebrates his 48th birthday. How does Johnny Depp look like that at 48, by the way?
How did
he looks
ever
like he's about 35.
I agree.
It's ridiculous. Smokes like 9 packs of cigarettes a day. Drinks all the wine in the world. Good life, Johnny Depp. Gloria Rubin's 47 years old. Dean Felber of Hootie and the Blowfish celebrates his 44th birthday.
I'm not positive that one needs to stay on the list for the rest of the day.
Dean Dinning of Toad the Wet Sprocket also celebrates his 44th birthday.
Same with that one.
Mae Whitman, very talented young actress who was on Arrested Development opposite Michael Cera. She played the young girl on that show. What was the character's name?
Maybe.
This was his cousin that he was in love with, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Maybe was her name.
Was it Maybe?
I think.
Really? I don't trust you.
Yeah, I wouldn't
either. Look that up.
I don't trust me either.
May's 23 years old today. And actress Natalie Portman celebrates her 30th birthday.
It was Anne, apparently, I've been told.
Anne. That doesn't sound right either.
It's not right.
But I don't think it was Maybe.
Well, that was Casey on the Button who says Anne is the
No, it wasn't name, Anne.
So.
No.
Okay. So no Anne, no Maybe.
No, we'll look into it.
Right.
You can set it to Kevin at KevinZ.com if you're interested. You can send those emails. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You know, it must be tough to be a woman in Hollywood or a woman of any kind of high-profile public image because you're on TV, your photo taken all the time. It's super easy for stuff to be seen that you're not necessarily intending to be seen. Last night, for instance, Kevin, were the CMT Awards on the CMT Network, Country Music Awards.
Right.
And apparently Sheryl Crow was singing a song with Kid Rock out on stage. You know, they do duets together sometimes. And she was wearing a super short skirt. And when she got up on this live broadcast, she broadcast her underwear all over America.
All right.
Oops.
Now, at least she was wearing underwear, which, you know, would not have been the case with, you know, a lot of celebrities. And that's the that's happening the same week that Khloe Kardashian was on the TV and just basically said, "Hey, America, check out my nipple," for 6 minutes during this interview.
Yeah, they call it a nip slip. As if it just fell out for a second.
Yeah.
But what happened was she was wearing a super sheer top and she didn't have a bra on. Well, that happens a lot to girls and they're not aware that the super, super bright lights just make that top disappear.
I did that once on a cruise. I was wearing this black dress that was very...
And you thought it was covered.
And then they took a picture of all of us from the office.
Yes.
And when we got it back, it was like I was wearing nothing.
We'd like to see that. So anyway, she was sitting on stage while that was happening. And by the way, from what I could tell, they told her ahead of time that it sort of... Her sister kind of warned her, "Hey, that's a little see-through." And she's like, "Oh, well.
That's what I got."
So I put the video up and the picture up at kevinandbean.com if you'd like to see it.
God bless you.
I do the Lord's work.
And we wanted to find out more about how she's feeling a couple of days after Nipplegate. And Khloe Kardashian joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Khloe, how are you, sweetheart?
Oh, Lamar, I'm sorry. I thought we were on hold trying to get a hold of your wife. How are you?
I was in the bathroom. Anyone can talk to you? Please.
Carolina!
Carolina, don't follow you! Ryan Seacrest talking to you!
It's not.
No, it's not Seacrest. Oh, no. Here she comes.
Oh, man.
They have specially reinforced floors in that home.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
No, it's Kevin and Bean, Chloe. We were set up to talk to you, remember?
Oh, whatever.
Okay. Chloe, how you feeling?
I'm feeling great. How are you fellas doing this morning?
Well, we're okay. We just wondered if maybe it was a little bit embarrassing to have your nipple out there for all the world to see the other day.
Not at all. Because, listen, what's everyone's obsession about nipples? We all have them, okay? We all have nipples.
Right.
It shouldn't be a big deal.
Okay, it's just it's something that you don't normally see on network television for many minutes at a time. That's all.
Well, you know, my publicist, my stylist, Monica Rose, did tell me to wear a bra because the top was so sheer. But I'm naughty, and I just went out there.
Because you don't play by their rules?
That's right. Wow. I'm a rogue nipple. I go out there, and I'm an outlaw. My nipples are outlaws.
Well, Chloe, I gave you props. I mean, in the post that I put on the website, I think it's a good trend because you do have to have some ugliness so that the Jessica Albas of the world will walk the red carpet and be seen.
Right.
So I'm fine.
Wait a minute. What?
I'm down with that. I think they should not
give you... My nipples are beautiful nipples.
They're not terrible, considering what I expected.
They're gorgeous. First of all, I shaved them before I went on the air.
You have to shave your nipples?
Sure.
Wow.
And I polished them. I got some Brasso out, and I gave them a nice polish. Right. So they were camera-ready nipples.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right. So I was happy to show them off.
Now, what does Kevin mean when he's saying there has to be some ugliness to allow Jessica Alba to walk the red carpet? I don't even understand that.
I have no idea what that means. I'm just trying to keep the bit moving forward.
Look, I've gone to a topless beach before, and there are a lot of ugly, ugly women that are topless at a topless beach.
Right.
But if you wade through them, you get to the super hot chicks that are topless as well.
Okay.
I'm just saying, let's not come down too hard on Chloe because
right.
I would like it to be an acceptable thing.
Yes.
That's all.
And okay. Then what, Jessica Biel, what?
The acceptable thing. Jessica Alba was the one that I think that was famously walking the red carpet. Come on now!
Okay.
You guys are effing with me.
I was just trying to follow the conversation. That's all.
It's pretty clear.
Wow.
I think
Lamar back on. He speaks me.
You make Kim sound smart.
How dare you?
Oh, you don't have to insult the man. He's just trying to have a conversation here, Chloe.
I'm supporting you.
So you're fine with it. You don't know what the big to-do is. Everyone has nipples. You like nipples. Deal with it, America. That's basically what you're saying?
I'm saying, look, nipples are just there really to feed goats with, right?
Goats.
I mean, that's why we have them.
No, no, no. It's for babies. It's for when you have a human baby. That's how they feed.
What?
By the way, we're being told by several listeners they've gone to KevinBean.com to check out the Chloe video, and YouTube has taken the post down, but we are, I guess we're working, Kevin, behind the scenes to find another version?
Not doing that. That would be illegal.
Not able to do that. Well, I don't
Correct.
Know if it would be illegal, but anyway, so we'll keep
it unattractive. It would be that.
Right. It'd definitely be unattractive.
I'm just saying, check back.
All right, Kevin Pereira from G4's Attack of the Show on the way today. Johnny Knoxville, Dr. Drew, got a lot of good stuff on the way. And, of course, more tickets you can win for Blink-182. First, though, it looks like some sort of an intervention going on in the studio here. What's happening with everybody coming in here?
Oh, damn it. That's what you hear when you sit in the office with Dave, the King of Mexico, as he stares at his computer that faces the opposite direction from everybody else. He looks at his computer screen and goes, ha, 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 ha. Then just keeps working.
And this happens a lot. And I didn't realize it because I'm not in there as much as Ralph is. So I started complaining about it. And Ralph's like, oh, you have no idea.
All day long. Oh, damn.
Now, what's the problem with the King talking out loud?
Because you can't do that. Not in an office situation with other people around you. You can't say, oh, man, I can't believe it.
Right.
Because you're just begging people to say, okay, we bite. What is it you're looking at in your computer that's so amazing? Or what are you looking at the computer that's so funny? Or what do you think? Look at the computer that's so, makes you awestruck. Whatever it is, stop saying it out loud because nothing on the computer is that funny or interesting or upsetting that you must burst out loud and say something. Just have the conversation in your head so the rest of us don't have to turn around and say, okay, what are you looking at?
It really begs. It begs for someone in the room to ask a follow-up question.
Or just freaking tell him. Just
well,
do
that's
it.
What I'm saying.
Or just say, oh, damn, I can't believe this. Some guy got shot in the head right there in front of me on the screen.
Any kind of information, right?
Yes.
Or
something.
If it's good enough, share it. But don't just go, ha, 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 ha.
I see. So you're either in or you're out. You either are telling the story or you're not telling the story. Leave me out of it. That's what your point is. All right.
You don't spread your little office breadcrumbs trying to get people to bite and say, oh, what fascinating thing are you doing on your computer, Dave, the King of Mexico?
Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, look at that.
look. I want to hear from, let me hear from Dave. What is it you're trying to do? Are you trying to get
people to
ask you what you're looking at? What kind of pen to video you're looking at?
I'm the guy who collects the internet roundup videos. So if I see a funny video, I laugh because you know why? It's funny. I'm not saying, hey, Ralph, check this out. Because even when he does ask, I'm like, don't worry about it. You know, it's like, that's for me.
If you do ask him what he's looking at, he'll say, oh, nothing, never mind.
Listen.
He interrupted the room by laughing out loud.
One of the videos he's talking about was when the pug was pushing a stroller.
Right.
I found that very funny.
Right.
It made me laugh. I know you guys wouldn't care about it, so... You know, I'm not going to tell you.
You
guys,
know what it wasn't? Laugh out loud funny. That's what it wasn't.
It was to me.
No, it wasn't. Not to anyone.
No, but Dave.
Not to a pug.
Snicker and hold it in?
Yeah.
No, wrong.
Yeah, that's because that's impossible. How do you laugh without making a lot of noise?
How can you say,
that's funny?
Dave, here's the thing is that if you make a noise in a quiet room.
With other people also working in it.
Right. Then the other people, you have interrupted the other people or whatever they're doing, and now it's like they have to either be rude and ignore you or say, what are you looking at?
No, it's not true at all because that's all on you guys. Because when he doesn't go, what? Then I don't go, oh, you know? I just keep working because you know why? I'm working. That's what I'm doing.
No, you're not working. You're interrupting other people and their work.
Well, you need to pay attention more to your work.
Well, you need to shut the F up, man, so I can pay attention.
Dave,
oh, damn, look at that.
No.
I mean, honestly, that's... You don't...
Oh, my God. Oh, damn.
Listen, that's just... That's the way it works, man. That's the way it works.
Right, I know that's the way you work.
Shut up.
And you may not... Maybe you're not aware of this, but when you're in a room with other people in pretty close proximity... They hear that. They hear it. And then they think, well, is he watching something really funny? Maybe I should ask.
Is he watching something funny? Oh, I wish I was watching it. Too bad.
Okay, now you're an a-hole.
No, now I am an a-hole. Well, if he obviously said he doesn't care what I'm watching. I'm not...
I can't avoid it because you're saying something out loud, so obviously you are interrupting everyone else. You are putting whatever you're thinking about or doing in your life, you're forcing it on everyone else by your outburst.
I'm snickering. I mean, I'm not laughing way loud. I'm just like... That's it. That's what I'm doing.
In a quiet room, that's enough.
In a room that's quiet.
But the room's not quiet. There's music on. There's things going on. There's typing. Everything's...
When I was in there, we had turned the station off. Ralph was working. I was working on the schedule. There were like three or four people in there, and no one was doing anything. And then we heard...
All right, so what?
So then all of us are in the position of... What do you? How come you had to interrupt all of us for this?
But I wasn't interrupted on you. I just found something funny.
But here's the thing:
you don't live in a vacuum, Dave.
Maybe you don't
like you to.
Maybe you're not aware that you're interrupting everybody, but you are.
So you can't laugh at all at work. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can laugh.
Okay,
if something's that damn funny, then identify it and say, "Oh, there's this amazing video of this guy who just got hit in the face with a pie. It's hilarious."
You laugh quietly. Or share what you're laughing at. Those are the two options. Okay, not just
then,
laughing
then
a little.
Then if I start sharing, you guys will like, well, it's not funny. Well, it's funny to me. So.
Okay, then laugh quietly.
Well, I can laugh quietly.
Everyone can laugh quietly.
I can't control it. I can't control what I do. That's not how laughing works.
Everybody can laugh quietly. You can find something hilarious and not burst like...
There's something that's so funny that you can't possibly just keep it to yourself. I guarantee you everyone else will find it funny too.
And I do. I do share when it's that funny.
No, you laugh out loud all the time at stuff.
This is not...
And comment and go... What kind of noise is coming? Like you're a steam vent.
Not my fault.
It's like a radiator over there.
What we want to do is open up the phones and talk to you because you have to have somebody like Dave who does things that sort of interrupt your day.
Office etiquette is what we're talking about. How to behave in the office so you're not disturbing the people around you. What are your coworkers doing that make you nuts while you're working next to them?
And it might be like Dave is trying to insist that they don't, that they're not even aware of it. That they don't even know they're annoying you.
Oh, damn.
And I look up at Ralph. Ralph looks at me, and then we just go back to what we're doing. We really try to annoy
you. That's what you're supposed to do.
You don't let us.
Supposed to do.
You won't allow it.
You know what? You go, uh-uh, and then just keep working. That's what you're supposed to do.
We did that on that particular day. We did that like 10 times in a row, and then finally I said, will you shut up?
I don't say anything when you're moving papers all because there's too many papers. Oh, too many papers.
I don't say anything. You have an option to silence the papers. That is not an option.
Yeah, I don't turn around.
You can shut the hell up.
No, I don't turn around and go, come on, dude, no, the papers.
But if you did, you know what? You would see me going through papers and throwing them away. When you're on the computer and no one else can see it, and you go,
oh, damn.
Oh, I can't believe
crazy
it.
Crazy Penda.
Oh, this is outrageous.
Not my fault.
Then you're bringing everybody in the room into it except for you're not.
It's just a tease. No, don't pay attention to me. Damn.
You shut the F up.
Damn.
Now, right, what's
We're going to take a break here, Dave. 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number on
Dave
the Kevin
Dave should
Beach
work
show.
Underwater. That's what I'm saying.
We are looking for you work in an office with people that do something that annoy you. That's what we're looking for. We want to hear your stories of your King of Mexico in your office. Give us a call. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, if you're just tuning in on the Kevin and Bean Show, you're lucky that you missed the last segment because it got a little bit ugly with everybody ganging up on my man Dave. But apparently it annoys those who share an office with Dave that he will talk out loud when he sees something that he likes on the computer without sharing it with the rest of the room.
Yeah,
and Kevin, you feel like it forces you to then ask, what is it you're looking at, Dave?
Well, it's sort of like if you're walking down the hallway and somebody passes you and say, wow, did I have a crazy day yesterday? You know what I mean? Like, you're sort of in a position of where you either have to be a dick and ignore that or go, what happened yesterday that was so...
Just freaking say it.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So Dave, you know, sits over there at his desk, and I'm sure a lot of people have desks that have, of other people that are close to them. And he goes, ha, 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 ha. And then nothing else. And you
so
go,
annoying.
Come on, dude. Just either tell us what's funny or keep it to yourself. I can't laugh quiet. How do you laugh quietly?
So we're taking your calls on office annoyances. And let me tell you, the phones blew up. We've got a lot of stuff to get through real fast here. We'll start with Oscar. He's on line one. Oscar, first call on this topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I have a coworker that I work with. He talks to himself all day long. Yeah, he says, I don't think I should have done that. You know, he says that like probably 20 times a day. I want to climb over my desk and just like choke him because I'm just tired of him.
Did you ever tell him, hey, by the way, can you keep that quiet? Would you mind keeping that to yourself? Or
I don't know. I don't want to say it in a rude way because if I say it, I think I'll be rude. But I mean, he'd be.
Well, you're gonna have to be rude.
If he says, I don't think I should have done that 20 times a day, he must be a terrible employee.
Yeah. You may not need to worry about that so much.
There are some times when you're trying to work out a problem where you do think out loud. I think that is useful for some people, but it doesn't sound like that's what your colleague has going on. It sounds like it's something that he just does just
know,
maybe even without even realizing it. Yeah, exactly.
Even when there's nothing big going on, you know, you have to comment out loud.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it so much. Let's try Tish, line two. Hi, Tish. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You have an annoying coworker. What's going on?
Yes, she's annoying. She's always on the other side. We have a small office, and on the other side, you could hear her when she walks in the room. When she arrives to the office, you could hear her yawning, like kind of yawning. We work in a small office, so it's really, really tight and noise. And it's like everybody's like, oh, Angela's there, or oh, she's here. She's so annoying.
So it's just
we wanted to put her in a little office by herself so she does not make noise. You can even have her personal conversations. She's like all ghetto on the phone when she's talking to her.
Oh, that's good too.
Oh, man.
That's good too. A girl that's planning her wedding on the phone for 2 weeks straight, you know, at work. You go, why don't you shut up? So Tish
is what annoys me.
Tish. Does Tish ever stop talking? That's my question.
Tish, can we just butt in and ask
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling, Tish.
You're the best.
By the way, it's funny she talks about how they want to put the coworker in her own room because that's how I ended up on an island.
Yeah.
Because everybody said, oh, we got to get this guy out of here. We got to put him in his own room.
And it worked.
And it has to be at least 1,000 miles away. Katie, line three is next. Katie, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Tell me about your annoying-ass coworker.
Oh, dear God. My name's Kitty. I work in what's called a collaborative work area because no noise is bad noise. People will be a desk apart and have conference calls on speakerphone. So you hear both out loud, everybody on the speakerphone having a conference call. Just go in a damn conference room, people.
That's super annoying, but it's not quite the same thing because you at least can hear both sides.
Yeah, but how can you think with all of that?
I'm trying to do my job.
No, I hear you. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying that our complaint about Dave is that we don't have any idea what it's about, and yet he's still interrupting
but
us.
Her workers have an option of going into a room, right?
Yeah.
They do. They just don't care.
Katie, here's my advice for you. Jobs are a dime a dozen. You should quit and go look for one.
I'll go fly K-Rock.
They're just begging
Thanks
people.
For the call.
Yeah, we don't have anyone annoying here.
Yeah.
It's never been easier to find a job in America than it is right now. Christy writes in, I have to share my office with an older woman. She talked all day. When I finally started ignoring her, then she started talking to herself and not quietly. She referred to herself in the third person while talking to herself, too.
Sweet.
Once she got bored of talking to herself, she would start singing and doing a little jig in her chair whilst snapping her fingers. Also, she did a lot of Jesus praising. I put on headphones. I tried to hunker down, but I could still hear her. I literally wanted to punch puppies by the end of the day. I was so annoyed. So, yeah, it's got to be tough, man. If you got that one person that gets under your skin, you can't do anything about it.
Here's the problem is that you just need to understand when you're in close quarters with somebody else. They can hear what you're doing. That's all.
Right.
Yeah, there's people who don't care.
Not that difficult.
Let's talk to Ryan on line 8. He has an oddball one. I got to figure this one out. Ryan, thanks for calling. What's going on, dude?
Morning, Kevin. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
I have a coworker that is just so fake nice. You know that, hi, how you doing? You look good. Kind of like voice.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody. I work in a dental office, so we deal with patients, we deal with doctors, we deal with insurance companies, and it's the same voice.
Hi! It's great to see you!
Yeah, that would wear very thin very fast, I would imagine, Ryan. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. How about Mary on line 5? Another problem with a coworker. Mary, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
What's the annoying?
I have three.
Three, okay.
Not just one. I have three. Okay, the first one is Eeyore. Because we work in a fast-paced environment, and she'll come over, like, to ask for something, and she'll be like, hi, do you have this file? It's so irritating.
Oh, man. You're trying to get a lot of work done. Takes it forever. Yeah. Okay, that's one, all right?
That's one. The other one, we talk to clients all day long. So she'll get off the phone or she'll listen to a voicemail and kind of does the Dave thing, but she complains like, oh my God, that was awful.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like,
More information than that. They force you to either ask for clarification or just ignore.
Exactly. Like, that's all they do. I ignore because I don't want to deal with it. And I'm literally like right next to her. So it's irritating.
Yeah.
Then the other one does something similar, but she cusses like, you effing nasty. As soon as they hang up the phone. And
sweet.
It's like, okay, what happened with that phone call? And that's all they say. That's it.
Yeah.
I think we're providing therapy here today because people are so happy to get the stuff off their chest. I mean, it's 8 hours a day every day of people being annoyed. No wonder some folks go postal.
Yeah. We're providing
all right, we've got time for one more. Who do you like?
Well, I like Megan.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty weird.
Megan it is.
Hi, Megan.
Hi.
What does a coworker do in your office?
He pretty much does nothing but walk around all day with a huge ego and rubs his man boobs.
Now, what do you mean? He rubs his man boobs in a funny, sexy way?
No.
Not to be funny?
What do you think he's doing? What's going on?
Trying to be like the situation.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's bad.
Does anyone ever talk to him about it?
Yeah, I have.
And what happened?
He thinks it's funny.
Oh, yeah. You're serious? He does it to be funny?
So he does
funny?
It to be funny.
Oh. Yeah.
Dude, God. You know what you need to do? Seriously, Secret Santa time comes around, buy that man a bra.
Wow.
It'll be awesome.
Rubbing his man boobs.
Aww.
Yeah.
Who would ever thought? Maybe you just need to hit that and see how it is.
That's gross.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's 6:54.
Ralph Garman joins us every hour at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, I do so much more than that. I do so much more than just look at the showbiz beat. I also give away special passes to advanced screenings of smash hit giant, big-budget blockbuster summer movies like Green Lantern.
Yay!
That's what I do.
You're a giver.
I've got passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening. Get to see it before anybody else if you're one of the lucky three callers three callers, 1-800-520-1067, who can answer my trivia question. As we all know, Hal Jordan is tapped to be the Green Lantern of Sector 2814. We all know that.
Obviously.
Don't insult us.
Now, Hal was given the lantern by a dying Green Lantern, a dying spaceman who comes to the planet Earth. He is the current Green Lantern of Sector 2814, and as he's dying, he passes the ring on to Hal.
I'm not saying this to be dumb or make you mad, but you can't. That if you have that ring, you can't just keep recharging it and you stay alive?
You can die wearing the ring. Oh. I mean, just like anyone else.
What kind of a crappy ring is that?
Well, it protects you to a certain extent, but it can't protect you against anything.
All right. Back to you.
Like the power of color yellow, sure. For example.
Yeah.
So I just need to know, who was the previous Green Lantern of Sector 2814 who gave Hal his ring? What was the name of the alien who gave Hal Jordan his ring and made him the Green Lantern? 1-800
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds?
Yes, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. 1-800-520-1067, that's the number to call. I'll give you a hint.
All right.
He was a history professor on his home planet of Ungara.
Well, that narrows it down.
And that kind of gives it away. I'm sorry.
It really
I know.
Does.
I apologize.
Why make it so easy?
You mean to be so overt.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? How about this? Haley Steinfeld, you may remember her as the star of True Grit.
Oh, yeah. Right. Little girl.
Not, 14-year-old. Nominated for an Oscar,
little 14-year-old who played, played the lead in True Grit. Talented actress. Really impressive. They're talking to her, perhaps, about being the lead in the remake of the 1976 horror classic Carrie, about the girl who has telekinesis who ends up being tortured in high school and at the high school prom.
Right. That's a good choice.
Legendary Stephen King novel was made into a very popular film with Sissy Spacek. They've been talking for a while now about remaking it, and there have been names thrown about, like Megan Fox, for example, who wants to play the lead, which would be totally inappropriate. But I think Haley Steinfeld would be perfect in
I
that
agree.
Role. So let's see what happens.
Sounds good. She seems really talented.
We sign off on that. Hollywood?
Yeah.
Make it so. This is embarrassing. What if you're Jennifer Grey? That's embarrassing enough. But what if you're Jennifer Grey and you're at the Pirates of the Caribbean 4 premiere, like our own beer mug was over there in Disneyland? And you start flirting and chatting and talking show business with Jack Sparrow, thinking that you're talking to Johnny Depp. And he's playing along, and you're both flirting back and forth, and then you see Johnny Depp over there, and you realize you've been having an entire conversation with a Jack Sparrow impersonator.
That's great.
You thought you were actually talking to Johnny.
Why would she imagine that Johnny Depp would come to his premiere dressed in costume?
I don't know. But she was embarrassed
that's
when
on
she
her.
Realized.
I
she
love
realized that.
That
she wasn't talking to Johnny. But, Beer Mike, didn't you say there was a bunch of Johnny Depp impersonators there at present at the premiere?
There was like three. There was like three in a Jack Sparrow costume, and then there was one guy who dressed as Johnny like he would normally do in public.
Like a Johnny impersonator, too. So.
Oh.
So, see? There was a lot of decoys out there. Could have been an easy mistake to make.
You never know, man.
That's right. Let's not come down too heavily.
Beer Mike had sex with the wrong one.
Jennifer Grey.
Yep.
Yeah!
And Blake Lively and Leonardo DiCaprio are still a couple. After seeing those photos that aren't Blake Lively, good on you, Leonardo DiCaprio.
No kidding.
They were vacationing in the sunny beaches of the Mediterranean, but then they decided to take a jaunt to the happiest place on Earth. While we're speaking about it, they took a private plane to Disneyland. Spent the weekend there, apparently, and just left this past Monday morning. They spent their entire weekend at Disneyland. I would think Blake Lively would be enough of a theme park for me if I was Leonardo DiCaprio. I really wouldn't need the Matterhorn.
You'd just stay on that ride?
Because I'd put my own horn where it mattered.
It's a small world.
The Matterhorn. Better than the Haunted Mansion having sex with you.
And scene.
I don't even know what's going on.
No, you
Try
don't.
To keep up.
Let's see if we have a winner to my trivia question. I think Richard on line three might know the answer. Richard, what was the name of the alien Green Lantern who gave Hal Jordan his ring?
Abin Sur!
Woo!
You, my friend, are a dork.
He is not. He's a genius, as is Tommy, as is Michael, the other guys who called in. Congratulations.
What about all the ladies that called? Oh, sorry.
Congratulations, guys. You're all going to the screening of Green Lantern. Abin Sur.
Yeah!
Woo! Abin Sur!
Ralph, let me ask you this question.
Abin Sur. That movie, I have to tell you this.
That movie looks great to me.
It does. And you will meet Adam Sandler in the movie. They cover his origins.
I don't care about that. I want to know that if there's going to be any normal people in the theater. And by normal, I mean people like me who don't know every trivia question ever about this particular comic.
Of course there will be.
Okay, all right. We'll worry.
But these people who are hardcore fans who know this stuff, they deserve a little extra something-something.
I just can't believe how many trivia questions you're coming up with for the freaking Green Lantern. And I bet you didn't have to look any of them up.
I know, of course not. The character's been around for like 40 years. There's a lot of lore to pull from.
Right, but how do you know so much about the Green Lantern, and how do you know equally as much about 100 other cartoon characters?
Just lucky, I guess.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Just blessed. Just the Lord gave me.
Sure.
Genius when it came to comic books, that's all. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 50 years old today. I gotta double check that. It seems a little shaky to me.
Oh, come on.
I don't know if he's actually 50 or not. It just seems strange. I just want to double check. Aaron Sorkin's also 50. Johnny Depp, as we're talking about the legendary Captain Jack Sparrow himself, 48 years old. Natalie Portman turns 30, and we've unearthed the mystery of why Mae Whitman's name and maybe from Arrested Development didn't make any sense, because she plays Anne Veal on that show. She played Michael Cera's girlfriend on that show.
Ah,
that's where the confusion was.
Not his cousin.
No, but she was also in Scott Pilgrim. She played the angry lesbian ex, and a very talented actress. She's also on another TV show right now.
Parenthood, I think.
That's
yeah.
what she's on. 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm glad you've given up on fighting back against the Beatles, Kevin, because you're never going to win this one, because even though they've been broken up for more than 40 years now, they are still, in many respects, the biggest rock band in the world. They still sell millions of albums, and there just seems to be an endless fascination with this group.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of people like myself, but I am not a fan. I don't like them. And in most cases, you can just ignore the people that you don't like. But in this particular case, Bean's right. They're in your face every day with something else.
Yeah, you can't go to iTunes without seeing a million different Beatles combinations that you can buy. Well, the Beatles Tribute Cruise 2012 is sailing from Fort Lauderdale next February. The Beatles Tribute Cruise. This is a new thing that they're trying, and we thought, who better to get a comment on it than our old friend John Lennon? I believe we're going to dial up the hotline to heaven right now and talk about this cruise and see what Mr. Lennon thinks about it, because this is it's quite a tribute, I think, all these years later. Hello? Hello?
Imagine there's a cruise.
Oh, we got John. Here he is.
Hello, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, we're good. That's quite a song.
Well, I was just noodling around on the piano, and I heard you guys talking about some sort of cruise.
Well, yes. It's a Beatles cruise. Yeah, it's like a...
Oh, God. Really? A Beatles cruise?
Well, that's what we think. Like, I don't know. Paul McCartney's going to be there. Ringo.
Oh, really? Those guys are still working.
Well, I don't...
Glad to hear it.
Well, here's the sad truth, John, and tell me what you think about this, is they couldn't get Paul McCartney for the Beatles tribute cruise.
Well, but they got Ringo, I'm sure. He's not too busy.
No, Ringo, unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it there either. But they do have a guy who's going to be playing you. He's a John Lennon impersonator named Tim Piper.
Oh, Tim Piper. He does great work.
So they've got him. They also have a Beatles tribute band. They have Lawrence Juber.
Larry Juber.
A two-time Grammy Award winner and former lead guitarist for Wings.
Wings, it's not a Wings cruise, is it?
It's a
Beatles cruise.
Right, he never played with the Beatles, but he did play with Paul McCartney on the Wings.
Well, it's hardly a Beatles tribute then, is it?
I agree.
Well, then wait for the Wings cruise ship for him to be on it.
By the way, that guy's doing two shows.
Wait, wow. If he's doing two shows, then I'm sure it's worth it.
Now, I know it sounds lame so far, John. I know because they have a Lennon impersonator and a guy who used to play with another band in Paul McCartney.
Sounds great.
What about Mark Hudson? Are you aware that Mark Hudson is going to be there?
Who's that?
I'm not familiar with Mark Hudson.
He produced some Ringo Starr albums.
Wait, hold on. Ringo's producer?
Former producer. He doesn't
work
with him anymore.
Former producer.
Yes, that's right.
Ringo, who put out the most shite music of all of us.
Correct.
Yes, the guy who used to work with him is going to be part of the draw on the Beatles cruise. And then they got a guy, a radio host, who plays Wait, who plays what? Beatles songs on here.
Wait a minute. A guy who plays Beatles songs on the radio.
Yes. He's the onboard MC for the show, right?
All right. I want to sink a torpedo into this ship.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a very good Beatles cruise. Even
let me put a message out there to all my fans, all the Beatles fans.
Okay.
Stop it. Get over it.
Really? So now you're done with it as well? Just
the band's deader than I am. Turn on your radio. Listen to a new group. Find some new music. Open a newspaper. Get a calendar. Find out what day it is and what year it is.
But, John, there's going to be a DJ who played your music on the radio.
As long as Ringo's former producer is there, that's all I care about. Why not get the woman? Wait, the guy who played guitar for Wings.
Yes, they got
gonna
him
be
too.
There.
He's going to be there. That's
why not
right,
get
yes.
the guy who sculpted Paul's wife's leg? To stop by.
I would like to actually meet him. That would be interesting.
That would be good.
Oh, dear Lord.
So you're in?
Stop it, stop Beatles it. Fans.
All right. Stop it is the answer.
Stop it.
All right. I never thought I would agree with John Lennon, but I think we're on the same page here.
So don't go to the Beatles Tribute Cruise 2012 is what you're saying.
I'm saying kill yourselves if you do. Okay.
Former English supergroup Blur there on the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, you know Damon Albarn went on to do the Gorillaz. And you know what he's doing right now? He's taking a break from both. You know what he's doing right now? Writing an opera.
What?
Yeah, he's one of those guys. One of those guys who does it all.
Well, tell him to stop it.
Yeah, probably playing professional soccer in his spare time, too. So I hate talented people so much. They screw up the curve for the rest of
that's
us.
That's the thing, is the curve. You gotta remember the rest of us are talentless.
Right, so don't do everything.
Right, you do everything, then every woman in the world looks at us and goes, wow, lame.
Loser. Matt Smith, you know him as Money on the Petrus and Money radio show, is going to be joining us coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about the Stanley Cup Finals, talking about the NBA Finals as well, and everything going on in sports right now, though. Time for the Kevin DeBean Afro Line on the air, 323-520-AFRO. This is our voicemail. You call us 24/7. We play it back on the radio. What are people talking about?
Well, the first call is about Omar. For some reason, he has decided it's his mission to bring back the word LOP.
Right.
L-O-P. And to understand the call, there does need to be a little bit of setup. And the setup is Louis Farrakhan from Million Man March, who gave this speech.
I want to take one last look at the word atonement. The first four letters of the word form the foundation. A-T-O-N. Aton. So if you look at the aton, add an E to it and separate the A from the next four letters, and you get the word a tone.
Now, if we look at the word lop, it begins with the letter L. And L is the first letter in the word loser. Now, if we look at the letter O in lop, we see that it is the first letter in the word Omar. Therefore, Omar is a loser. Period.
I'm down with that.
Yep.
Nice. Well done. Well done.
I think that's true.
Hey, guys. You know who else likes planking?
By the way, planking is it's when you take a picture of somebody laying face down somewhere. And while I admire its worthlessness, I mean, I really do, because it's silly and dumb, and why would anyone do that? I do get that. I don't have the fascination that Dave the King of Mexico does, who's obsessed with it and trying to put up photo galleries, and everybody talks to him, tries to get him to do it. And one of our heroes apparently also went with it.
Daniel Tosh. Should have seen him blanking with his pleasure coach in the last episode.
You know, planking is out now and coning is in. Have you guys been
coning?
Paying attention?
What is
coning is in. It's where you steal a traffic cone and you put it in a wacky location, take a picture of it. Coning is now the hot new thing. Planking is, seriously, planking is so May 2011.
What happened to extreme ironing or whatever that was?
Yeah.
Well, extreme ironing is forever. That's okay. Not a fad. That will not come and go. That's here forever. But coning is the hot new thing that the kids are into now.
I told a story on the air about my webcam. Looked like it was on, and I was using no programs that it should have been on. So I put a piece of tape over it.
I'm watching you, Kevin. I'm watching you through your computer eyeball thing. Man, you have a small wiener.
Now, that's a good call, and I like the punchline.
Right.
But your computer eyeball thing...
It doesn't sound like he was familiar enough with the topic to comment on.
Really?
The word is webcam. I mean, it's not a tough word.
That's how I would describe it. Yes. But I would think most of you have higher standards.
Dude, I know we're all laughing around. I know we all think it's funny. But you do understand that someone was watching you, right?
Yeah, I do. That's why I put a piece of tape over it.
Right, but I mean, and that's funny. Oh, I put a piece of tape on there just to be sure. But you know, because you thought there was a one in a million possibility. But now I'm virtually convinced that somebody was actually looking at you.
So, wow. And by the way, a lot of what we're hearing is that's possible without that light turning on as well.
Well, that's even more terrifying.
In which case, tape full time.
Wow.
Yeah, tape full time.
Oh, well, tape when I'm clothed. I'll take the tape off when I'm naked.
That's right, exactly.
We have a shorthand here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We have certain jokes that we say, certain things we say, and people then start doing it outside of the arena of the Kevin and Bean Show, and they think it's going to go over well, and it doesn't always.
My grandmother was telling me a story how she got robbed in Glendale the other day, and the only thing that I could say out loud is,
yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure she looked at him like, what? Why would you? What's the?
It happens all the time. I'm sure it happens to listeners just like it happens to us. But I was in a store the other day, and they said, let me bring over my colleague to help you with this problem. And the colleague had a Chinese name. And I couldn't help myself. Hi! I'm standing there. Hi! And then they're just looking at me like, what kind of an idiot are you? But it's, you can't stop yourself. Your brain fires in that direction when you've been hearing it and doing it as long as we have.
Yeah, but when it affects the listeners.
I'd like to lick some of Lisa's cotton with her boob in it.
Yeah, that was a conversation we had the other day where we were talking about our game, Lick Lisa. And when she loses, an intern or somebody licks her, and she said, oh, over the sweater, how can that be a turn on for anybody? It's nothing. I was like, really? Good news. So that's what that's what that was about.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I was listening to your segment on licking a woman's breast over her clothes.
Now, I'd like to bring up again that outside of this show, it may not go over as well. We play a game where someone is supposed to lick Lisa.
Right.
Right.
And she's agreed to it.
Right.
It's in context. Exactly.
And
yes,
it's one lick.
Correct.
And I wanted to, you know, find out for myself, you know, who was right. Now that would pan out. So I went ahead and found one of my coworkers here at work that was wearing a sweater today, and I went ahead and licked her breast, and you know what I found out? I found out that whether they're wearing a sweater or not, it's still sexual harassment.
All right.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, you might want to start with some kind of understanding first. Like, we're playing a game where that's okay, which is ridiculous, but at least it's been agreed to. I don't know that I'd be doing that at work.
Yeah.
One of our favorite listeners also wants to get in on the act, Lisa.
What's up, Kevin and me? This is DeJuan, and I know you guys talking about something this morning about licking Lisa. I really like that. But maybe I should do that when you guys invite me to the studio. All right? Peace out.
All right.
Poor DeJuan, just trying to get some somewhere.
Maybe we should invite DeJuan to the studio tomorrow.
Lisa, are you in?
I don't think we have anything to give away. Oh,
we
too
could
bad.
Find something.
All I know is not Kevin and I will put in whatever cash is required to make this contest happen.
And finally, we're not professional. We'll admit that. We hit the microphone a lot, and we don't hit buttons, and everything goes wrong. And
songs run out.
Bean's Darth
Dogs bark.
Bean's Darth Vader. I don't know why, but he is, and that's what these many calls are about.
Jesus, I can hear every breath. Hey, man, get your inhaler out. Who the hell is running a marathon? Seriously, Bean, it's just sitting. Quick, who am I?
Is it possible for you to breathe any louder into the mic? Jesus Christ.
All right, I can tell you what happened. Now, there's a problem every day because I have some sort of hogged up nasal thing going on. And that's the way it's been my whole life. But we were in San Francisco. We were broadcasting from Live 105, our affiliate station in San Francisco, on Monday, right? And their setup is way better than our setup in terms of the quality of the room and of the microphone. You can hear a pin drop in that room. And for whatever reason, it was extremely exaggerated, my breathing on Monday, and we got a raft full.
You guys have no idea how much I turn Bean's mic down when he's breathing. I mean, I really try to keep it off the air, and still.
But But look, my choices are to breathe or not to breathe. I can't do much beyond that.
All right. Well, you know but what I'm we're coming
saying,
down
Monday,
with.
Mm-hmm. Monday was worse. Monday was worse. Like that Incubus, by the way. It's a good band. The new album is going to be called If Not Now, When, coming out on July 12th here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin Pereira next hour. Johnny Knoxville, too. Adam Carolla coming up right now. Our friend Matt Smith. He is Money from the Petros and Money Radio Show. Joining us on the Kevin and Bean program right now. Hey, Money. How are you, man?
What's happening, guys?
What's happening with you? What's going on?
Well, just enjoying a nice front nine here on the golf course, man.
Look at you.
Oh, how about that? How is your game these days, Money? You don't talk so much about golf. I know you enjoy it. Are you any good at it?
You know, it depends what day. Right now I'm playing okay. I think I'm 3 over through 7, so awesome. Not doing too bad. It's pretty good for me.
I would like you to keep track of how you do after you talk to us.
Wheels are going to come off immediately.
You don't mind.
Look, I know there's some playoffs going on right now, and I hadn't planned on talking about golf, but since you brought it up, I have to ask. This is going to be the first year in how many that Tiger Woods is not going to be playing the U.S. Open?
16, I believe.
And I know he's had some injuries. You know, usually you don't worry about golfers getting old because you can still play great golf into your 40s, but he got so mind-effed by what happened with his wife and all of his girlfriends and everything like that it's just – mentally, he can't play anymore, and he certainly doesn't suck, but he's not a top 10 player anymore. Is he ever going to come back?
I don't think so. I really don't.
What if he gets all the chicks back? Not his wife, but like a chick in every city. That seemed to be working for him.
I would imagine he's probably still got that stable of whores going.
All right.
He's got the money to roll them out, you know, to get all those fancy penthouse apartments in the downtown area.
Sure.
The spots he rolls to. Problem with Tiger is, and we were talking about this the other day when I found out that he wasn't playing the U.S. Open, he has injuries that I have never heard of on a golfer before.
Like what?
And look, I mean, just a knee, an Achilles, another knee, an ankle, you know. Golf is not that rigorous of a sport. You know, you stand over the ball, and look, it's an athletic motion to hit it. And he does have a very violent swing, kind of like a pitcher. You know, pitchers get injured, and it's similar to that. But no one's ever had this before. No one's ever blown out an Achilles, blown out a knee. And that's where all the questions start coming in. Hey, if you're taking something, then a lot of times your body, you know, the tendons can't hold up what the muscles are doing. You're just not built that way. So there's a lot of those questions. And, you know, people that have been close to Tiger say his body's just wrecked.
So is it possible then that even if the affair hadn't happened and the mental breakdown and rehab and everything else that he went through, that he would be having some real problems playing his level of golf at this point anyway just because of how much abuse he's given his body over the years?
Totally possible. Yeah, I mean, totally possible. But you know what? The mental part, like the one thing that Tiger always did better than anyone was putt. Jack Nicklaus and Tiger, the two best putters this game has ever seen, and he can't putt for freaking heck, man. I mean, he is no good on the greens anymore, and that's all mental. I mean, that is 100% mental game. He just does not trust his putter swing, and that's why he's really getting sideways.
I have a follow-up, if I could. Why are we still talking about golf?
Well, because it's Tiger Woods, one of the most dominant athletes in any sport in our lifetimes, and it's just fascinating to see that he's
over.
Well, thank you. Well, I thought it was a good question to ask you in the first place, buddy, so what the hell do I know?
Good question.
All right. So you got your NBA, you got your NHL. Do I have this right? They are both completely knotted up. You've got it's anybody's game at this point, right?
Yeah, best of three in both. The Bruins have, and just quickly on hockey before we go to the basketball, they have now outscored the Vancouver Canucks 12-0 since their dude took one to the head and was laying out on the ice all concussed. So that's gotten to be a very interesting series. We all love violence on the ice, violence on the racetrack, and there certainly has turned out to be quite a bit of chippiness and violence in this Stanley Cup.
But they're sending people to the hospital and stuff. I mean, to me, it's ugly.
It's way ugly.
And I went on Twitter last night and made the mistake of saying that I don't really like either team. It's a hard fought battle, but I can't root for either team because they're both dirty. And then I heard from everybody from Boston immediately. It's not us. It's not us. I'm like, oh no, the Bruins are great. They've never done anything wrong.
They were supposed to be the chippy team, you know. The Canucks were the finesse team. Just the prolific offense, and it was going to be, you know, that power versus the power of Boston's chippiness and Zdeno Chara and their defense, and it's just turned out to be a brawl, and it's ugly.
It is ugly,
Do you have any idea, final question, then we'll move to basketball, do you have any idea how NBC's ratings have been for the Stanley Cup Finals?
Not great.
Not great.
They haven't carried them all either. It's been on Versus. I think two games have been on Versus already.
Yeah, two of the four have been on Versus, two of the four have been on NBC, and they're not great. I mean, they're, you know, I think they're probably somewhere like, not Law & Order, but probably Law & Order SVU. You
know? All right.
Kind of one of those spin-off franchises.
All right, let's talk basketball. This is almost one of the greatest series I've seen in a long time as far as the finals. Miami wins game one, Dallas wins game two, Miami wins game three, Dallas wins game four. So that's knotted up, and there's only three games left, two of which are going to be in Miami. And does anybody – I mean, it comes down to a last-second shot in every game, it seems like.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was talking about yesterday on the show. I said, you know, some people are trying to defend LeBron, saying he can't win. Why is it always his fault? You know, he's played well, and just because he doesn't make the winning shot in the final 2 minutes, people are saying he failed in this NBA final. And I said, well, just kind of go back into the annals of the NBA finals and look at the final scores of these games. You know, these games are in the balance with 3 minutes left. So it really does come down to which superstar is going to make the baskets and going to step up to win the games. And because, let's face it, it's not a role player that has the ball in his hands in the final 3 minutes. It is the star.
But it hasn't been him.
It hasn't, and that's by his choosing, which has been the real interesting storyline. And I can't explain it. I've never seen anything like it before. I really haven't, where a superstar is on the biggest stage, has a moment to win a championship, and literally runs from the ball. Dwayne Wade has the ball. He is double-teamed. And on two separate occasions in Game 4, LeBron has just skirted over to the opposite corner where there's no possibility of him being involved in that play when Dwayne Wade's got to pass out of it. It really is strange.
That's what I would do. I would say, don't throw it to me, don't throw it to me, don't throw it to me. Yeah.
And it's also strange because LeBron is surely aware of his reputation of being a guy who folds in the NBA Finals. So you think that this would be his chance with a new team, with a great support staff, to really show, hey, I'm not that guy that you've been accusing me of since that Cleveland series. I can win. But I can't figure it out. I mean, how long had it been since he scored less than 10 points in a game like he did in Game 4?
Well, forever. You know, I mean, it really has. He'd never
hundreds of games, right?
Before. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about 400 games I'm talking about.
Wow.
I mean, you know, just to put it in perspective, because so many people, you know, hold Michael Jordan up as the gold standard, the lowest output he ever had in an NBA final was 22 points.
Wow.
Ever. So when you have Scottie Pippen and some of these guys saying, you know, LeBron might be passing Jordan, no. Absolutely not. I mean, you know, if there's one thing you can say about Jordan and a lot of the players, you know, Magic Johnson and, of course, the legendary, you know, game when he played center in Game 5. I mean, they always stepped up to the moment. And for some reason, LeBron, who has had a great postseason, I mean, he dominated the conference finals, just crushed the Bulls.
Yep.
And got into the finals and has been terrible. Yeah, he scored, you know, Dirk Nowitzki with the flu, 102-degree fever, a 1-of-11 stretch in the middle of that game, scored more points in the Game 4 fourth quarter than LeBron has scored in all four fourth quarters combined. That's how bad he's been down the stretch.
All right, let me ask you this question. It doesn't seem like home court advantage is any kind of advantage to either team. I mean, basically, the game goes how the game goes. I don't know. It just seems like both teams can win it away. So there's three games left. One is in Dallas, two in Miami. Will that make any difference?
It does because of the format of the finals. You know, when you have two very good teams, it's hard to win three games in a row when you're the visiting team because they do the format differently. They go two at home, three on the road, two at home instead of the 2-2, 1-1-1.
Right, so, but it's tied 2-2. So if Dallas wins tonight... In Dallas.
But the problem with that is you now have to win two games on the road. And as you get closer and closer, kind of the goal of having home court advantages, you assume that you're going to play the series even up, and you want the last game on your home court.
Because
that's kind of when you're gripping, and you need the crowd behind you, and you want that comfortable surround. That's kind of the way, that's what you think of when you think of home court. It's going to go seven. We want that game on our home court.
Is Miami going to be able to do it? Because
I think they are.
The weird story with Miami, of course, is the LeBron James taking his talents to South Beach, and why does Chris Bosh have such a small head? I mean, everybody's asking that. Why does he have a tic-tac for a head? But it started bad, and they had some moments during the season that were horrible, but they seemed to be pulling it together at the end.
They're just the more talented team, you know, and I guess that's what I always keep going back to, is when you look at the two teams and put them side by side and got to figure out who's going to come out ahead. I just look at Miami and say, how do you beat LeBron James and Dwayne Wade on the court at the same time? It's just so hard, and even as bad as
LeBron. But they did it twice already.
Yeah, I just mean in seven games, you know, four out of seven games. I think ultimately that's what happens when you have these long series is the
the more talented team typically comes out ahead. And I just don't think Dallas has as much talent as Miami. I know that's going to anger a lot of people that don't want to see LeBron James ever win a title for one reason or another.
But I think even they would admit, when you have Dwayne Wade and LeBron James on the same team, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's talent.
Yeah. And that's, and the thing is, when you look at Dallas, they're always playing from behind, you know, even in that game four.
Yeah, and that comes to bite you in the ass, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. It just tires you out. You know, you become mentally fatigued when you always feel like, God, all right, guys, we got to rally. Let's go. And sooner or later, you just burn out. You can't do it anymore.
Last question for our friend Matt Money Smith on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, with the PMS program all across this great land of ours. How many people are stacked up behind you waiting for you to play through? I mean, seriously,
this is how much I like you guys. I sprinted through a hole, a par five, so I could get to the next tee box and not bother anyone.
Wow. And, you're a pro.
Yeah, you know, I got this thing figured out.
Sure. You're the best. All right, Matt, always great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on today.
All right, guys.
That stays busy towards the 5 as well. On the 10, the San Bernardino Freeway westbound, it's a little bit slow coming away from Vincent. That'll stay busy out to about Garfield. And the 101 eastbound is slow from Tampa to the 405. No matter what your situation, a RE/MAX agent can help. Talk to the most experienced and knowledgeable realtors in the business. Their answers might surprise you. RE/MAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. Find an agent at RE/MAX.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 7:53. We have a ridiculous hour for you next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin Pereira, also Dr. Drew, and Johnny Knoxville all coming up. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Oh, my goodness. That's ridiculous.
It's a lot of show.
It is stronger than the average hour.
Yeah. You talk to Drew about touching those people?
We're going to bring that up, yeah.
Yeah.
When it's lights out at the rehab, that door creaks open.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's all I'm saying.
I think that's something you might have just made up, though, Ralph. I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that that happened.
Is there any evidence to suggest it doesn't happen?
Ooh, great. Let's prove a negative.
Booyakaka.
The proof is on him. The burden of proof is on him.
That's right. He's guilty until proven innocent.
Oh, good news, fellas. Snooki is back on the market.
Woohoo!
Snooki is single.
Yay!
Apparently, she took her boyfriend, Gianni Lavelli, with her to Italy to shoot the Jersey Shore there, but he left early. They had a split up while they were there in the big boot. And so it's all over. She's single and ready to mingle.
How does she ever get a man ever?
It's beyond me. Although she has lost a bunch of weight recently. She looks better than she did.
But she's still
Snooki. Relative. It's all relative, yeah.
And there's still all that on the inside that's bad.
Good news is they are starting to film Season 5 back in Jersey this summer. They're going to start shooting soon, so she will be available to get all the sausage she wants, you know?
Sure.
Ugh. Hello.
Lady Gaga defended one of her fans recently when one of her bodyguards sprung into action and roughed up one of her fans. She was at a fashion party. And one of her fans took a picture with his PDA. Bodyguard stepped in, threw the PDA away, and grabbed the guy by the collar. Started roughing him up. Lady Gaga stepped in, told the goon to leave him alone. And friends and onlookers say she looked quite embarrassed by the display of physical violence on behalf of one of her bodyguards.
That'd probably be a little shocking.
Yeah, you don't want that. You know, step in front of a bullet for me, but don't rough up my little monsters. Do your job. Remember last hour I told you about Jennifer Grey being sucked in by one of the Johnny Depp impersonators at the Disneyland premiere of Pirates of the Caribbean 4?
Yes.
I neglected to mention an important part of the story, and one of the listeners was kind enough to point it out to me. Jennifer Grey, at one point, was engaged to Johnny Depp.
Oh, my God.
Wow, I forgot about
that. Yes.
Then how could she be fooled by talking to an impersonator?
Yes.
That makes it a thousand times worse.
I know.
Or better.
How you look at it. That's sweet.
So I did want to make sure to mention that part of the story. It looks like they will be adding two new cast members to the cast of Glee next season. AOL TV says the producers have written two new characters that will be cast over the summer for shooting beginning in the fall.
I hope they're as tough and mean as... What's his name? The guy with the mohawk?
Puck?
The Puck? Oh, that guy's a mean
dude. Puck's
a
bad dude, man.
He is.
No, these are two young ladies, apparently. All one right. character is being described as Adele meets Susan Boyle. That's their description, not mine. And the other cast member is described as a beautiful girl who can sing all kinds of music. So they are sticking with the formula. One hottie, one naughty.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much how that show rolls. You got the hot cheerleader chicks, and then you got Little Precious and Jumbo
Beast
Sumo.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch next season, Ralph?
Oh,
are you
no.
done with Glee?
Oh,
right?
No.
Yeah.
No, they've worn out their welcome in my home. They've abused the privilege that I gave them when I invited them into my living room.
I've rarely been a fan of a show that has dropped off in quality so quickly as Glee did. I loved the first season.
Yeah, I did too.
And the second season started off weak and just went downhill from there.
I was passionate about the show when it started.
Me too. Me too.
I don't think I've ever lost this much interest or this much fan support for a show than this. Usually if I'm a fan, I'm in for the long haul. Right. Even if it tapers off and it's not as good,
I
will follow you to the end. But Glee now makes me angry. The show makes me angry.
Stupid Omar was right.
I know.
He was.
But he wasn't right in the beginning. He wasn't right when he said he was right.
When he was saying it, he was wrong. Now he's right.
He is, you know what he is? He's the broken clock.
Right, exactly.
Who tells the right time twice a day. You know what I'm saying? He was throwing it out that he was wrong, but then it came around and circumstances made him right.
He's just lucky now.
Yeah. He's Nasta. That's what he is.
Don't give that support.
Don't even.
Look, Omar's just Nasta.
We're barely getting on board with Lop, and now he's trying to get Nasta going.
You know Nasta.
We're not on board with Lop, by the way.
All of the people used to say it back in the day. All the Valley Girls, all those movies it was in. Nasta.
He said that yesterday. We said, you mean Nasty? And he goes, yeah, but Nasta. Yeah,
everyone says Nasta.
Everyone says it. We're like, who says it? And his first answer was, I think the Valley Girls said it.
We said no, they
didn't. There or anything.
Which I think is late 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, we said no, they didn't. Because when it's in all those movies... We said, no, it's not.
What
no, it's not in any movies. No, Nasta, people say it. I said, no one says it. No one. You just made that up. No, people say it.
He wouldn't back down. He never does.
Nope. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 50 years old today. Aaron Sorkin celebrates his 50th birthday. What do those two men have in common? Anyone? Anyone? Trivia. Anyone?
They were born on the same day.
Besides that.
Oh.
Aaron Sorkin. Michael J. Fox.
They Anyone? Have Anyone? In common...
What project? What project? What feature film do they have in common?
Oh, the whatchamacallit, the American President.
There you go, American President. Aaron Sorkin wrote it, and Michael J. Fox was one of the stars.
Huh.
Where Michael Douglas plays the bachelor president, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Nett Bennings, his girlfriend?
That was strangely unsatisfying.
You're not a big trivia guy, that's why. Johnny Depp is 48 years old today.
But if he hadn't done The American President, Kevin, he probably wouldn't have done The West Wing. I bet that was the runner up, you know, the running up to the West Wing. That was him kind of getting that learning that world and getting those songs together.
Rough year, right?
See what you started, Ralph.
I don't know what I was thinking. Natalie Portman, 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Check.
Now, though, let's say hi to our buddy Kevin Pereira from Attack of the Show on G4. Hey, Kevin, how are you, man?
Oh, good morning, gents. How are you guys?
Always great to talk to you. Hey, listen, real quick, I know there's something that we want to ask your opinion on, but I have to because it's late-breaking news today. The New York Times reported yesterday that the UFC is interested in buying a controlling interest in G4. Have you guys heard anything about that in the hallways there?
You know, I just packed Dana's lunch. I rolled over and gave him a kiss on the cheek and told him to have a good day at work.
Sweet.
And I promised I wouldn't talk about it. I thought you guys were going to talk about my penis pics on Twitter. I didn't know this was going to be about UFC.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Yeah, we definitely. No, yeah. I mean, what do you know? Anything?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I read the same story that everybody else did. It's a good thing I passed around a Groupon to my coworkers to learn Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So I figure, at the very least, we could all brush up on our ground game. And
yeah. Well, I was going to say,
You are going to be fighting within a week.
Yeah, if you're going to work for the UFC, seriously, you're going to have to head back to the gym, Kevin. You're not going to be able to bring whatever you've been bringing into the studio every day.
I've been shooting steroids into my own junk for the last week, and I like to think that was in preparation for a merger. But, you know, I'm going to be honest, I've got a fetish. That's the only issue. I really don't. I read the same story that everybody else. Candidly, I think it would make a sweet, sweet home for everything. But
sure,
what do I know? I really don't know. So
absolutely. All right, let's turn on to the topic of the day. And this is something that came up last week that I think was a shock to a lot of people. Twitter, I guess, as I understand it correctly, owns your photographs if you upload them through TwitPic. Now, there are a lot of different ways that you can post photos to your Twitter account, but TwitPic is probably the biggest of all of them, right, Kevin?
I think, yeah, TwitPig certainly has a large market share of the mobile sharing market. There's a million services. There's YFrog and TwitGoo and a whole bunch of other stuff that I've never even heard of. But the bottom line is it's one of those things that's buried in that license agreement that everybody scrolls past and slaps accept to. It's not that they own your photo. It's they own the right to basically exploit your photo. You still retain the copyright to whatever disgusting images you're snapping and putting on Twitter, but they have the right to sell it or exploit it from their service.
Is this a change from before? It seemed to me like that changed, like it wasn't the case, and then all of a sudden the change was kind of quietly just...
Or was it always this way and we just found out about it?
Right. You know, there's two different ways to look at it. First of all, there's a million other services out there that have license agreements like this that say they own your content in this sort of way whenever you upload it or give it over to them. So it's not like there's no real reason to be running with your arms above your head screaming about it. There were two things that happened. The one, yes, they did change their terms of service. Now, TwitPic will say they did that to protect users because they had zero recourse once you uploaded a photo. Because their terms didn't have that language in there, they couldn't go after media agencies or news agencies for taking your photo and using it without your permission. So they say they needed that language in there to protect you.
Wait a minute. So they put in that they can profit off of your photo to protect me from someone profiting off of my photo?
Well, it's not just profit. I mean, yes. I mean, this is clearly why blogs have gotten upset about it, because, yes, that is one way to read the language. But for them, it was more, listen, we can't protect the usage of this image without this language, so no one has to even ask us. This is TwitPic saying, they don't even have to ask us if they take your image and paste it around the world and use it on their news reports. So they wanted in there to be able to have some modicum of control. But then the real shoe dropped, you know, days later when they announced another deal with WENN, this news agency, where they were going to sell photos. And they claim it's only for like 0.01% of their user base, which are celebrities. That's all they're interested in. But then TwitPic clearly made a move that was sort of anti-consumer and saying, look, here's how we're going to make money. We're going to sell your photos.
Gotcha. And when you talk about the celebrities, this almost makes sense. I can understand why they would want to do it. If Sofia Vergara shoots a tweet pic of her boobs while she's lying out on the beach in Mexico, and she tweets it, now this agency that owns the photo can sell that image to People magazine, for instance, or can charge people if they get it off the internet to use it. I mean, that's basically what they're trying to do, is make money off of celebrity photos, right?
Of course. That's exactly what they're doing. And this isn't, you know, WENN is the kind of company that is doing these deals with multiple photo sharing sites because they see that this is an easily exploitable market. But at the end of the day, this could be a moot point because I don't know if you saw Twitter's announcement that they're now doing their own photo sharing service right in line with their own applications, piggybacking off of another service called PhotoBucket. So all these third-party services, while they still work, at the end of the day, most people don't care if their photo's on TwitPic or YFrog. They don't think about the service. They click send photo, and that's that. And it just goes into the cloud, and there it is.
Right, but most of our photos are not valuable at all to anybody, including us. So it doesn't really matter whatever happens to them. It's only once in a great while when you happen to be the guy who's on scene when the plane goes into the Hudson and you take that image that then becomes valuable. That's the only time it really makes a difference.
Right. That's precisely it. So I don't see many users getting in a huge uproar over this. I mean, obviously people should be concerned with their online rights and with copyright issues, and I'm glad that people were up in arms once they saw a terms of service change, because I certainly am never reading those damn things. But at the end of the day, again, Twitter's launching their own service, and so in a matter of time, we'll all be using that service without even thinking about it.
But is their own service different?
No, it's going to feel and look exactly
the same. No. I'm saying as far as them selling your photo.
As of right now, they are not selling any users' photos. But okay. In good time, you bet they will.
They will. So you're saying that they're going to start another company that's going to do the exact same thing as the company they use now.
Yeah. And I'm going to launch a text messaging service that's only 120 characters, and I'm going to sell everything.
Yeah. Sweet. So the photos that I took in a bikini of me in a mirror, those anyone can have?
You know, those are priceless. I don't think anybody can sell.
Okay. You can't put a price on that kind of perfection, Kevin. All right. Great. Always great to have you on the show. Kevin Pereira, of course, is the co-host of Attack of the Show, weeknights at 7 on G4. Soon you'll be seeing him in the Octagon, too, and I can't wait for that. Kevin, thanks for jumping on.
I'm going to throw a bunch of skeletons and wolves on my neck to wear affliction. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Bye-bye. Tomorrow, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, director J.J. Abrams will be here talking about his Super 8. Also, funny man Jim Jefferies and a band called Blink 182 in studio. That's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, give me a little Jackass theme, would you?
Best music ever.
Little Minuteman on the Kevin Beach. I know, you just get happy when you hear the beginning of this song, don't you?
You know other people are going to be hurt, and it's just fun.
Jackass 3.5 on DVD this coming Tuesday with a whole bunch of bonus material, and you can see the Jackass 3.5 movie on MTV in a special presentation tonight. Johnny Knoxville on the phone with the Kevin Bean Show. What's up, Johnny?
How you guys doing?
We are good.
We're always great when you're on the show, man. We love it. How you been?
Thank you. I love your breaking down the Jackass theme music. It's like the Jaws music.
It is.
You hear that, you know someone's going to get effed up.
And it's not going to be us, and it's going to be funny. Although, you know what's funny in 3.5, and I think this summarizes the entire Jackass experience, and I think it was you that said this, and I even wrote it down because I thought it was funny. There's a fine line between humor and horror. And that's pretty much, I think you said it in 3.5, and that pretty much describes it, and that's why everybody loves it so much.
Yeah, because there's that line, there's funny, and then if you go too far, then it gets in the dark, and it's not so funny.
I think that's when you were trying to burn Steve-O to a crisp.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't too psyched on that bit.
Oh, that was they had so many coals, and that the owner of the building was afraid it would burn through the cement.
Oh my God!
So they had to put like a giant piece of metal down underneath it, and then Steve-O walked across a little tiny board, and then there were balls being thrown at him, giant balls that were being thrown. He knocked into the fire and he fell, and
flaming balls were throwing them at him while he's walking down a rail, it was borderline dark.
Yeah, it really was.
Just another day at the office for Steve-O. And by the way, we've had Steve in a bunch of times in the last couple of months, you know, because he's been doing comedy in the area and whatnot, Johnny. And Kevin always points out to him how much more impressed he is with Steve-O now than he used to be, because now he's doing all this nonsense sober, which has to take, it has to be so much more difficult to say yes to these things when you're not drinking.
Well, we would never let people do, even Steve-O wouldn't do stunts when he was loaded back in the day.
What?
Yeah, no, we don't, like, there was always booze around, but you couldn't do it if you're doing stunts.
I would think that's the only way you could have gotten through some of that stuff.
No,
I'm not kidding.
It's impressive that he did this all Jackass 3 and 3.5 without any booze. And you can tell, it makes it a little bit funnier. Because he just, it just adds a whole other level to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, he certainly is.
He's the bravest stuntman ever.
He certainly is more miserable. Yeah, and that's the other thing I want to talk to you about is that warning in the beginning is so funny because it says, you know, these stunts are performed by professionals. And I just think, I go through the list. Knoxville, Margera, Steve-O, Pontius.
You're looking for a professional?
Where's the professional?
We're professional idiots. We've been doing it for 10 years, so. But unfortunately, the things we do, no one's ever done before, so
yeah.
We're kind of flying blind.
I hear you.
It's unbelievable, though. I mean, I'm always amazed that you guys have the nerve and also have the brainstorm enough to make another movie. But the fact that you were able to shoot enough to make Jackass 3, that you had a whole other movie left over, I mean, you just must have been inspired every day to come up with so much stuff.
Well, obsessed is probably a better word. We just start filming and don't quit. And we had more than enough footage for Jackass 3D and 3.5. So it's pretty, it takes a toll. You know, we shot from beginning of February. This time we shot well into August. Usually we stop around June or end of June, but this time we just kept going.
You usually stop when everyone's in the hospital trying to recover, and then you go, well, shooting's over.
I guess we're dead. This is the voice of Johnny Knoxville on the Kevin Bean Show talking about Jackass 3.5. This is going to be on MTV tonight, but you really want to own it starting Tuesday. It's available on DVD and Blu-ray with tons of stuff, including some of the promotional things that you guys did going across promoting the movie in Europe and everything. I think we do have a clip, don't we, Kevin? Speaking of our friend Steve-O, this is exactly what we're talking about, the type of thing that you would agree to when you're sober. I don't know how he does it, but this is from Jackass 3.5. Listen up.
Johnny, tell us about the snapping turtle. What?
This is like a prehistoric biblically horrifying alligator snapping turtle, and Steve-O had turned this bit down for 5 or 6 years. And then one day we were in Florida, we had one on the set, he goes, okay, I'll do it.
And did you quick do it before he changed his mind?
Yes, right. Yes.
Here's a little bit of the audio of Steve-O and the fun he had that day.
People are always asking me, is there anything that you just wouldn't do? Well, this is it. It's the alligator snapping turtle. Probably the meanest thing I'll have ever done to my butt. God damn it!
Relax.
Relax.
Relax. Just relax.
I knew this was happening. He's not letting go. There's a reason why I turned that down for so many years.
I love that he has a category of the meanest things I've ever done to my butt. Most of us don't have that.
It's so good, and I love how old Nostradamus there thought said, I knew this was going to happen. Well, of course it's going to happen.
That's the bit.
If he did. Then you got Pontius and Manny the alligator guy, Manny Puig, going, just relax.
Yeah.
Just relax.
Yeah, that always cracks me up.
How do you relax when you have an alligator snapping turtle taking hunks of meat out of your butt?
That's great advice that you guys seem to give out. I also like the dildo bazooka. That was pretty strong. I think I would use that pretty much full time. I'd take that with me everywhere.
Get one of those around the office. Yeah. They're really great.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, listen, I know you're out of time, Johnny. It's always great to have you on the Kevin DeBean Show. Jackass 3.5 on the TV tonight. Own it for your own self starting Tuesday on DVD and Blu-ray. You're welcome anytime, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, thanks, guys. And don't forget about our Nutball app we got on iTunes. You can hit me in nuts with all kinds of different things. Skulls, bones, anything you want.
Do you really feel it? Because if that's the case, I'm getting it.
Yeah, I feel it with every blow. Right.
you're the first guest since Regis to push a Nutball app. Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin DeBean Show on a Thursday. Do we have Dr. Drew? It doesn't look like he's on hold yet.
We're working on it. It's Dave.
It is producer Dave.
Oh, it's not my fault.
See, here's the thing, is that he sees Alex get the guests on the phone and put them on hold, and he doesn't realize that it takes him twice as long to do anything that it takes Alex to do. Dave's on his own pace. He's on south of the border time.
It's not
my fault.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault. He just said Drew's pager isn't working. And I'd like to suggest, I know he's a doctor, and I know they need to be reachable, but pagers?
Who has a pager anymore?
That's my question. Do doctors?
Yeah, why not text the brother, right? That's what you're saying.
Do all doctors still use pagers?
No idea.
Well, let's ask him, because apparently the slowest moving radio producer in America, Dave Sanchez, got Drew on the phone after all. Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you, man?
Hey, gentlemen. Sorry about that. Here I am.
Do you really still use a pager?
Nope.
Okay. All right, good.
Then what the hell's Dave talking about?
I don't know, I'm just glad they got me. It's all good.
Oh, his pager's not working.
Dr. Drew, of course, is the star of a show on HLN, the headline news network from CNN that airs weeknights at 9 o'clock. Drew, as always, we have a bunch of stuff we need to talk about. And I want to ask you about one thing right up front, because this has been the hot topic in the world this week. Why would a guy like Congressman Wiener, who has a beautiful, intelligent, accomplished wife, be trolling the internet, sending dirty pictures back and forth to chicks he doesn't know all across the country? What causes that?
I'm not sure I can make it really very simple for everybody, except to say that he's got a problem. And it's oftentimes narcissists, people with narcissistic disorders, which, surprise, surprise, people in positions of power tend to move that direction.
Sure.
They tend to have a very sort of barren and empty feeling inside all the time. And doing kind of really crazy, evocative stuff like this is sometimes the only way they can evoke anything of feeling, any kind of an emotional life at all.
But you look at a guy like that and you go, he's got to know that that's going to blow up in his face. He probably does.
No, you know what? He doesn't.
He doesn't.
Those guys, when you talk to them and they go, what were you thinking? They weren't. They really were not thinking. But there was a certain amount of sort of a blush of entitlement and feeling special, and I'm not going to get caught, and I'm entitled to this. And, you know, they sort of feel like invincible, and it doesn't matter anyway. They talk themselves into it. But the reality is, when you really, years later, when they've had treatment for this kind of thing, and they look back and go, what was I thinking? They were not. And they're so disconnected from what's motivating all this. It takes a long time to work with them to get them to the point where they start to realize what they were up to.
Wow. Now, do you think it's likely that a guy like this who, you know, let's assume he keeps his job. There are some people calling for his resignation, but let's assume he stays in Congress. And do you think it's likely that he can beat this habit and not be tempted by this again and stay married?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Kevin, the crazy thing that a lot of people don't realize, and when we work with couples like this, they can do quite. That's why it's so sad that Maria Shriver and Schwarzenegger broke up, because when both members of the couple work, and in fact, the crazy thing is both have to work equally as hard. The betrayed member of the couple often thinks, you know, why should I have to work? He's the idiot.
But wait, Doctor, let me just butt in there. It seems to me like Arnold and Maria, she's had to put up with this stuff for 20 years, and it's been.
I'm certain of that.
Okay. So you think that's still fixable, even though he's been that way since she met him?
It is. You'd be surprised. I mean, but if they want it to be, you know what I mean? If they're both willing to really work at it, if they don't, and again, the betrayed member of the couple has a hard time swallowing that they have to do work too. But, you know, it takes two. There's a reason that that wife is with that husband, and they got to look at that.
Hmm.
And it takes a while. They end up in a very good place. And the reality is, and here's the crazy piece of data, is that most of these marriages survive. And they end up in a much better place.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I watched your show a couple of nights ago when you had the sex addict on. You had the doctor on who was a sex addict. And his wife, who, by the way, was such an articulate woman, and I can't believe how well I understood that topic listening to her side of the interview. She was even surprised that she had to then go into therapy to make it work out with her husband, even though he was the one who had all the transgressions. But that's interesting. There is a correlation between these two topics. All right, let me switch gears for a second here, because yesterday it was announced, I guess, or maybe the day before, we talked yesterday about the new cast of Celebrity Rehab 5, your new crop of patients. And you've told us in the past that you don't have anything to do with the selection of who you're going to be treating every season, right?
I don't. That's right.
So do they just come to you with a list and say, surprise?
Yeah, they say, here's who's coming. Will you be able to manage this? They'll sort of describe the situation, and they'll say yes or no. And sometimes they say no, and sometimes they say, why? Why this person? What are you thinking? This isn't really appropriate for this. But this was a good – in fact, it's funny. Psycho Mike last night at Loveline was telling me that he's been through two rounds of this with me, you know, how stressed out I get when we're doing these programs.
Right.
And he said that this last group, I was like in an altered state. He said he'd never seen me anyway like that. And I'd forgotten that until I started seeing the trailers for the show, and I thought, oh yeah, that's right. It was tough.
But I mean, how do you get around the people who and I know that you're friendly with Michael Lohan, but he seems like exactly the kind of guy that doesn't have any kind of a problem that needs treatment with, that is just doing it to keep his name and his face in the spotlight.
Oh, no. He's got a big time out. Guys, wait till you hear his story.
He's a horrible human being.
No, you need to watch the program, because people.
I'm going to watch the program. He's a horrible person.
He's got a horrible alcohol and cocaine problem and a terrible codependency. Oh, my God.
And I need to be on TV talking about my daughter at all moments of every day.
Well, that's a different issue. But Bob Forrest looked at him at the graduation and said, Michael, I've never effing seen anything like you.
I had no idea that he had that much of a problem. All right, so you got actress Sean Young, who has not been in the limelight for a while, but what's her addiction?
She's a serious alcoholic, and she, again, another delightful person, does very well in treatment, does a lot of work.
Crazy!
And her family gets involved too.
Yeah.
No.
She's crazy.
Bi-Ling.
Speaking of crazy.
Interesting. Yeah. A very interesting woman.
You used the word interesting, and for the rest of us, that means crazy.
Yeah, we know the translation.
All right.
This woman, when she tells her story, she was in the Chinese infantry at age 14 in Tibet and became the concubine for all the generals of the Chinese army. I mean, just crazy abuse.
Wow.
Just awful stuff. Yeah, awful.
But she's making that all up, right?
No.
Oh, all right.
Amy Fisher, who shot her boyfriend's wife in the face. We got her on the show. We got Sugar from Survivor, Jessica Kuiper, Jeremy Jackson, Dwight Gooden, former Mets baseball player, who had
Dwight has been struggling for years and is doing great right now.
Oh, yeah. He's had a drug problem for decades, right? And then probably the toughest nut, if I'm not a doctor, and I don't believe I am, although I'm not sure you are, Dr. Drew, the toughest nut to crack is Steven Adler. This is one of those guys, and you have one every season, who almost seems like he should give up on the dude before you even start. But you think you can help him?
Bean, did you really make that aspersion to my professional status?
He does it all the time.
Every time I talk about you.
Every time you're not on the phone, Dr. Drew, Bean says you're not a doctor. And I always try to defend you as much as I can. I think he is. That's about as strong as I can get.
Kevin actually brought Jimmy Kimmel to my office one time, if you'll recall, Kevin. So Kevin witnessed where I work.
That's right. So he saw the fake certificate on the wall. That's what you're saying. Like, I got a Kinko's near my house too, Drew.
And I saw him put on a white glove, and I was like, whoa, whoa.
Steven Adler, of course, from Guns N' Roses. Now, he's a repeat visitor to Celebrity Rehab, right?
Yeah, Steve is, you know, way better since we first treated him. I mean, he was going to die the first time around. He did well for a while, and really, it's just one of these coincidences. We got a call while we were doing the program that he was starting to slip, so we went over to his house and got him. And he had an interesting flavor to the mix. He developed, like, severe cannabis withdrawal and became agitated, irritable, and focused all of it on Amy Fisher. And
there's no such thing as cannabis withdrawal, by the way. who's the doctor, you or me?
Tell that to Steven.
All right, let me play a clip for you, Dr. Drew, because we were talking a second ago about what goes on when you're not on the phone with us.
Uh-oh.
And we were talking about Celebrity Rehab, and Bean was standing up for you and saying that it seems like it does good work, and Ralph had a question.
I think it's entertaining, but I also appreciate the good work that they're doing there, and I really do believe that Dr. Drew sincerely loves those people and really is trying his best to make them healthy, and a lot of times it works, and I think that's inspiring.
But he touches them a lot while they're sleeping.
Oh, well, he might. Yeah, no, I don't know that he doesn't. Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll have to talk about that tomorrow.
There's a lot of inappropriate touching going on.
All right, is that true?
That there's inappropriate touching?
From you.
That's what Ralph's theory is.
No,
is that you can't wait for the lights to go out and you're going in, you're molesting your patients. See what the kind of program's like when you're not on it, Drew?
I somehow prefer that kind of outrageous accusation than telling me I'm not a physician.
Well,
somehow,
really?
Somehow
okay.
That's easier for me to swallow. No, well, there's no, although...
You do jump to that conclusion about 100% of the time of 100% of your patients is touching went on when they were young.
Well, that it had gone on, not that it was going on the set, but it's because that's just very common feature. That's a very common issue. And so, you know, just playing the odds, when certain behaviors emerge, you can pretty much bet that kind of thing happens.
All right, so you're not fine with Bean saying you're not a doctor, but you're fine with Ralph saying this.
You just look at that guy's eyes, you can tell he's creeping.
Anything Ralph says, I'm good.
All right, you're creeping.
All right, not a doctor and a predator.
He's that's a doctor, our friend, and he's that, not a predator.
That's our friend, quote-unquote, Dr. Drew. You can catch him on HLN weeknights at 9 o'clock. Drew, great to have you on, buddy. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right,
Celebrity Rehab 5 premieres, by the way, again, Sunday, June 26th at 9 on VH.
Best-selling author and the world's most popular podcaster, Adam Carolla, joins us coming up after the top of the hour. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to showbiz news, all week long I've been giving away these Playboy prize packs, including a year subscription to the iPlayboy app for your phone, tickets to the Playboy Jazz Festival, probably the most famous jazz festival in America, parking for both of these. And also, I enter you into a grand prize drawing, which I'll do this Friday, which is two tickets to a big party up at the Playboy Mansion.
Giggity.
The kickoff party for the jazz festival, and it is one of the biggest parties at the mansion every year. I will be there. You can be there, too, if you can answer my Playboy trivia question and answer correctly. First call through 1-800-520-1067. The reason we're doing this, the reason we're celebrating this, is because NBC's got a brand new TV series called The Playboy Club, which debuts this fall, which I'm really looking forward to. It takes place in 1960. The very first Playboy Club opened up in Chicago, Illinois, in that year.
Yes. And true.
That's not the question. Oh. And it's retro. It's about the bunnies, of course, and the intrigue that goes on there, all the backstage drama, and all the gentlemen who would come in there and try to flirt with the bunnies. And, you know, it was a don't-touch policy there in the Playboy Club, of course.
It's ridiculous.
But what I was surprised by when I was looking into the Playboy Clubs, how many famous women started working as Playboy bunnies in the clubs. A lot of famous women, like Sherilyn Fenn. Remember her from Twin Peaks?
Sure.
She was a Playboy bunny at the Los Angeles Playboy Club.
She was way hot.
Remember Dale Bozzio, lead singer of Missing Persons back in the mm-hmm. 80s? She got her start in the Boston Playboy Club. Carol Cleveland from Monty Python films. She was the chick in the Monty Python crew. She started working at the London Playboy Club. So I thought I'd ask you this trivia question. If you know what 80s punk new wave pop superstar got her start as a Playboy bunny at the New York Playboy Club, Call now, 1-800-520-1067. She was the lead singer of one of the biggest bands of the 80s. If you know the name, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take a look at some of the showbiz news. Haley Steinfeld is in talks, perhaps, to play Carrie in a remake of that legendary horror classic. She, of course, was starring in True Grit recently, and she also will do Romeo and Juliet next year, which is another great role for her.
Good choice.
Rebooting Carrie based on the classic Stephen King novel, and I think she'd be a good choice for that, too. So that's hopeful. Glee is casting two new members for its ensemble next year. I guess if the show lasts long enough, they're going to have to cast all new people, because I think next year is the senior year for everybody on that show.
Unless they go to high school like I did.
How long did it take you to go to high school?
Like 12 years.
Yeah. Two new cast members, according to the producer's descriptions. One character will be Adele meets Susan Boyle. Oh, good. She'll be fat and ugly.
Wow.
But boy, can she sing.
That's they put that out. That's their statement?
That's their description, yeah. And another cast member is a beautiful girl who can sing all kinds of music. So, to balance things out.
I'm confused by Adele meets Susan Boyle, because you don't need Susan Boyle in that equation. Adele already sings like a bird, right?
Yes, she does, but she's not nearly as ugly as Susan Boyle.
Yeah, I think they're expecting someone like, you'd be surprised by the power of her voice based on her looks. I guess that's what they're shooting for.
Then why not just Susan Boyle? Why do you need Adele in the equation then, if that's the character you're describing? I'm trying to understand.
We don't care that much.
What's this? What are they trying to tell
Maybe
us with Adele meets Susan Boyle?
50-year-old cat lady. Maybe they're talking about someone who's like youngish and high school ageish.
Okay.
Damn you.
What? Damn me for trying to understand the news.
Yes, I like to
stay current.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
And Sylvester Stallone is apparently working with a writer to churn out a script for a Rocky Balboa Broadway musical.
Yes.
Sly wants to get it up on its feet. 2013 would be the grand opening for Rocky the Musical. Oh, can't wait.
That would be great.
The greatest musical ever.
So they'd be boxing on stage, I guess, for a bunch of the musical, right? How is that a musical, though?
They're gonna fly now. I'm singing the theme.
They sing, Bean.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
We have to explain everything to you.
Jab, right cross. You can talk about what he's doing while he's singing it. Awesome.
And then Rambo the musical follows, and all of his movies can be turned.
Actually, Sly is working on another Rambo movie, he says.
What?
Originally, he was going to retire Rambo, but now he may be bringing him back.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
True. That would be a good musical. And then the Expendables, the musical. Imagine all the guys dancing around
like
the
that.
Expendables. We have an answer to my trivia question.
I think
Patrick on line three. Patrick, what 80s superstar got her start as a Playboy bunny?
Debbie Harry
from Blondie. Yeah, can you imagine
that? I'm in a boner.
Ooh. Here's a picture of Debbie Harry when she was a Playboy bunny in the New York City Playboy Club.
You could have held up that picture and asked me who it was and $1 million.
Long, dark hair, long hair, but she was a stunner.
Wow.
Back in the day, I'll tell you.
I'm guessing it's not within her job description to show the boys her vagina.
Well, it should have been.
It was.
Congratulations, Patrick. You're going to the Playboy Jazz Festival. You've got the iPlayboy app, and also you'll be entered in the grand prize for the big party up the mansion up on Friday.
Awesome.
Could I suggest that the iPlayboy app for a nation that's trying to get people to stop texting and talking on their phones, maybe an app for your phone with naked chicks isn't what we need.
Think you'd be doing something else in the car while you're looking at your phone?
If you're not looking at it, yes.
It's more than just naked chicks, Kevin.
It is?
It's about lifestyle. It's about, cool gadgets and about cocktails and about fashion. Playboy is a magazine for men that covers many areas of the lifestyle.
I never got that.
That's gross.
I never got
that.
It's
not gross. It's awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 50 years old today. Aaron Sorkin also turns 50. Johnny Depp is 48. And Natalie Portman celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations, Lisa Adams from Yorba Linda. You just got tickets for the Honda Civic Tour and possibly a key that could start a brand new car.
Nice.
Your chance to win is coming up on the world famous K-Rock. It is 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Chris.
Please pass this along to Adam Carolla next time you talk to him. I was recently on a 10-hour flight. I was bored off my ass, so I decided to read Adam's book to pass the time. In 50 years, we'll all be chicks. The poor lady next to me must have thought I was psychotic because I couldn't stop laughing, practically falling out of my seat with tears in my eyes. Anyway, tell Ace thanks for making my day. Get it on. You got to get it on. That's from Chris. Hi, Adam. How are you, man?
Wow. He just made my day. I love that.
I'm going to tell you something else about the multimedia hero that Adam Carolla is that I was doing a little bit of flying over the weekend my own self, and I loaded up some Adam Carolla podcasts and enjoyed all 90 minutes of your sit down with the great Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
And that must have been as big a thrill for you as it would have been to me to get a chance to go out to his office and do an interview. It was one of the best interviews I've ever heard with Albert Brooks because you've got the time to really kind of explore stuff that's interesting to both of you.
And he is a really funny cat, unlike most guys that are sort of funny on paper or funny when they're applying themselves. But sort of when you get conversational with them, they reel it in, or when they're not doing their act. He was really funny straight through that thing.
Yeah, yeah. He was hilarious. You got to check out the podcast. Get them at iTunes or adamcarolla.com. You can also catch up with all of the Ace Man's live appearances every Thursday night in June at the John Levitz Comedy Club, Universal City Walk. Don't forget Friday, July 1st in Santa Barbara at Velvin Jones, and July 7th at the San Manuel Indian Casino. The Ace Man is here. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and moving down to number one, I got my kids in the room, so I'm going to scare them when Daddy starts yelling.
All right.
I don't feel like the information we have to defend ourselves against bear attacks are any good. It's okay? Thanks, sweet.
It's all right if you yelled, did she say?
We get to, she chimed in. There's two things. They started with, you can play dead, which this sounds like the worst thing ever if something's going to eat you. Because, I mean, what's a steak do? That's a cow playing dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like you're going to, whoa, be careful. I don't trust this. I don't trust that quarter pounder. Back off, fellas. Give it some room. Let it breathe. So playing dead doesn't sound satisfying. We have a 2,000-pound Kodiak coming at you. And now they tell you, make yourself bigger. Guys who do a lot of trail hiking aren't huge dudes in the first place. They probably go about 165 pounds. What do you think they could balloon up to in 3 seconds? 171?
Yeah.
The bear's 2,000 pounds. Do you think the bear goes, oh, my God, that guy just put on 6 pounds? I'm backing off. He weighs 20 times as much as you, and you put on 11 pounds because you fluffed up a flannel shirt. You really think that's a problem? Yeah. Isn't that just more you to eat? If they're going to eat a deer that weighs 172 pounds, and now the deer weighs 180 pounds, isn't that just awesome for them? That's more meat on the bone. You should make yourself look scrawnier and smaller and diseased. All right, speaking of food, number two, I ran into this. Now, I don't know. Bean, you probably might know this one. The euro as a currency. Right. I don't know what they use in Armenia.
It's not the euro. They're not part of the union.
They're not part of the union? Then screw them. I can't figure out what their rack sandwich is called. I can't figure out if it's a hero, a gyro, a gyro, or a euro. But do you guys know what those things are called?
The only thing I know is it's not a euro.
And it's not a hero, I don't think.
Mean, yeah, but when you talk to those guys and they order, they yell at the Mexican guy to cut it off the spit, they go, Tuyero! You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I always thought it was a Greek sandwich, isn't it? I thought it was a Greek sandwich, and I think it's a gyro, isn't it? No?
Well, is Greece part of the union?
Yes. Greece is. Yes,
right,
Greece
so
is.
It's a gyro. But here's all I'm saying. If you're traveling through Greece and you want a gyro, and you're standing at the counter, isn't there going to be a who's on first kind of thing? Where the guy's like, how many? Five euro. And then you're going to go, euro? And then he's going to go, no, gyro. And I think it would come out euro. My point is, there's a lot of confusion. Let's just figure out what this goddamn sandwich is called. Because I like it.
Right.
But I don't want to be out 156 euros for a sandwich.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass to order. Right.
A lot of confusion over there.
All right, so let me just keep track. So what to do if you're attacked by a bear?
Throw a gyro at them.
Okay. And how to order a sandwich in Greece.
No, how many gyro? No, euro.
See, here's the thing. I think my life's going along pretty well. I don't think I've got any problems. Then Adam comes on and points out all of the stuff that I should be worrying about.
Should be worrying about traveling through Greece trying to order those gyros with your euros.
All right.
Number one, mountain bikes.
These
things are now they're mocking me at this point. They are so much better than we are. I feel like, you know, 12, 14 years ago, mountain bike was basically souped up 10-speed with some knobbies, and it was fine.
Right.
And you'd look at one, you go, I think I'm on par with that. I could handle that.
Sure.
And now they're all like, oh, this one's made out of Chromoly 217 with the monoshock forks and the gusset aluminum everything, and everything's made out of billet titanium.
Wait, I thought you would understand that way more than I would.
I do. I understand
all right.
how the hydraulic disc brakes work and all that stuff. But I don't need 26 grand worth of mountain bike because there's no way I'm up to that challenge. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
We're living in a time when we have $70,000 beds. I'll never sleep. I'm not up to that sleeping challenge, by the way. I don't think I can sleep well enough for a $70,000 bed. I just mean I love a mountain bike.
Okay.
I love when you go in a store and you see all the aluminum and all the shiny stuff and all the leather and all the stuff. But it is so much better than we are. It is past us. There's nobody you know who can ride a bike that well that's worth $5,000 worth of bike. And I love it, but it'd be like us taking a dragster to work every day. We're not
yeah.
that good.
Yeah. It's really just, it's theoretical. Somebody should buy it and then just put it behind glass and just look at it rather than ride it.
Just stare at it. There's nothing you can do. You'll never be as good as the bike. That's basically what it is.
Those bikes do mock you.
But if you're ever attacked on a mountain bike by a Kodiak bear, you right. can throw the gyro at them.
See go. Adam Carolla on stage tonight and every Thursday night in June at the Lovitz Comedy Club Universal. Upcoming dates in Santa Barbara and the San Manuel Indian Casino. Go to adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Love it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 938.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean are dicks.
Oh, yep. Come on. Mm-hmm. Hey.
That's for
hey.
Sure. Hey, that is for sure.
Can I start with a little story about Omar? We need to keep Omar a little busier. He's our production guy. I just walked in there a second ago. And I swear to God, I forgot what I was going to talk to him about because he's scrapbooking. And I was like, he's got like pictures out and drawings and sketches and stuff. And I said, what
wow.
are you doing? And apparently he's... I don't know. He's like he's designing landscaping or something.
What?
We're not keeping him busy enough is the takeaway.
I've been looking for it for a half an hour trying to record a commercial. I'm walking around the building saying, where the hell's Omar?
He's scrapbooking.
And so I saw him in the office and I said, hey, dude, where you been? I'm trying to get something done. Oh, I'm busy doing some editing yeah. some sets.
Editing a scrapbook.
Yeah, apparently that's what was going on.
He's working on some kind of landscape architecture drawing with
bastards.
Where he's like cutting pictures out of magazines. I was like, we don't keep you busy enough.
Wow. He is a nasty lop right there. Well, he is.
Omar, you. I've been saying this all my whole life and I'll be saying it till the day I die. You. You could also shove that TV up your ass.
What? Huh?
I don't know, but I'm with that guy, whatever he said. Nasty. Stop it.
All the kids say it.
They're not. No one's saying
it. Remember when all the Valley Girls would say it? And it was in all those movies?
Omar is not allowed to keep trying to bring words back because he's a lop.
Nasta. By the way, I've been getting a lot of emails and questions about whether, in fact, Debbie Harry from Blondie was indeed a Playboy bunny or not.
Oh.
And you have to understand, there's Playboy Playmate. There's like in the magazine centerfold. And then there's the bunnies who used to work at the clubs. That's what I was talking
most
about.
Most people aren't even familiar that the clubs existed.
Well, that's,
so maybe that's why they misunderstood.
Well, if you've ever seen that legendary costume with the bustier and the cuffs and the bow tie and the bunny ears and the little fuzzy tail, that is from the Playboy clubs. That's where it came from.
Quite something to check out.
And so she was a bunny. She was a waitress, in essence, at the New York Playboy Club.
But she wasn't in Playboy magazine.
Right. She was not a centerfold. That was the confusion that some people had. But if you want to see her as a bunny... I tweeted a picture of it. So at Ralph Garman, you go to my Twitter account. The picture's there on Twitter.
It's super surprising. You'll go, wow.
She's a stunner back
in
the day.
She's never looked better.
I thought she was way hot back in the 80s when she was lead singer for Blondie. I thought she was sexy. Now she looks kind of like Chaz Bono. But other than that, I'm just saying there was a time.
All right! Is this Godhead or what?
Yes, it is Godhead.
And if you need some scrapbooking done, go to Omar's Twitter.
Apparently, he's starting his own
he's doing a business.
Scrapbooking. Club.
What's next? Bag. Knitting?
Damn. Katy Perry's contract rider, something we were talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you were hot under the collar with
her
that one.
45-page contract rider. We talked about the kind of cloth that had to be draped in her dressing room and the hydrangeas, how they had to be arranged and how much fresh organic produce she needed. And like, F this broad.
Anyway, she has come forward and told USA Today that she's shocked that there were all these requirements in her contract. She had no idea. This was all her management's doing.
It's her people?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was embarrassed, and she's having them change that rider because she says she's not a diva, she's very easygoing, and says at the end of the day, she's just a simple entertainer. That's all.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Yeah, that's such a big liar.
I don't think she knew all of... I think she knew some of it.
Come on.
No, but...
Kevin.
But you know from the amount of times that we've had conversations with Star's people, and then we run into those people someplace, and they go, I don't know anything about this conversation. People do act on their behalf a lot.
Yes, they do. And maybe some of that, the driver can't look at her in the back seat and don't touch the luggage, that kind of thing. But if you're asking for, I have to have dried strawberries that are organic in a bowl, and I need hydrangeas, and it has to be pink and cream-colored drapery hanging in the room.
Yeah.
Come on, who's coming up with that stuff?
Yeah.
How would anyone know her specific tastes in Fresca, in soft drink selections, other than Katy Perry? I'm not buying it.
All right.
Take them both out, I say. Her and Russell Brand. I was having a conversation in my head when I was talking about the other person. Yeah.
Her boobs? What? I didn't understand.
Lady Gaga, while we're talking about music, she had a run-in with a fan at a fashion show this weekend who was trying to take pictures of her with his PDA, and one of her bodyguards got a little overzealous. Apparently sprung into action, threw the PDA to the ground, dragged the poor guy up to the roof, and threw him off. No, I'm kidding. I just want to see if you were listening. It got a little rough with him. Lady Gaga stepped in, told her bodyguard to leave him alone. She looked quite embarrassed and then gave the bodyguard quite a screaming at. So it's good to know that she sticks up for her fans. It's nice to hear.
That guy was acting a little, not like she expected.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Alec Baldwin. Could he run for New York City mayor? His representative, Matthew Hiltzik, says, I wouldn't rule it out. Apparently, Alec has been thinking about potentially getting into show business for some time, and his response to the Anthony Weiner scandal, which of course happened in New York State, where Alec lives.
Yes, I could do that.
No, I think it's spurring him to want to get into politics and be the right kind of politician. But you have to stop and think. Don't you think there are skeletons in Alec Baldwin's closet all of his years as an actor in Hollywood that he wouldn't want exposed?
I agree with you 100%, and even the stuff that we know about, the minute he seriously starts campaigning, everybody's going to start playing those voicemails again and him screaming at his...
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Yeah, that's not what you want. Well. You don't want to bring that back.
And don't you get Kim Basinger to do your commercials if you're opposing him in an election? Don't you get her to be your spokesperson? Yes. I know my ex-husband Alec is running for the mayor of New York City. If he wins, he will likely beat you. That's what I think she would say in political ads.
It seems like you give up a lot of autonomy. You give up a lot of money, a lot of perks, a lot of everything you have when you're a major star to become the president, don't you? Or any kind of president. Mayor, did you say he was running for?
Yeah, considering running for mayor of New York City.
That doesn't stop people from wanting that kind of power, though, even if they've already made it in some other arena.
Yeah. And Alec Baldwin is sort of a political junkie. He is very active. Yeah. He is very much involved in politics as just a citizen. So I think he's got a real vested interest in what happens in local and national politics.
Okay. I don't doubt his passion for politics, but I'm not particularly impressed with his viewpoints when I see him on the shows. When they put him on Bill Maher or something like that. He doesn't strike me as a particularly bright guy.
He could beat the crap out of you, though.
I'm sure he could.
That is true.
Yeah. This may all work out, since Alec has already announced he's probably leaving show business at the end of his 30 Rock contract, which expires in 2012. So, he may be looking for something else to do anyway. Bean, this isn't really show business, but I thought of this, and I said, I got to tell my boy Bean about this. I don't know if you heard about the new Love Sex Company. Love Sex Company out of China. They've just unveiled their new lovemaking robot.
I love it!
Yeah!
This is so much better than a woman. Tell me more.
She is a 5'5" tall female robot that uses an advanced metal skeleton and is filled with silicone gel.
Finally.
She's only $5,000.
Done.
The company spokesperson, Li Chan, says the robots are designed to pleasure well-paid executives who are, in his quote, too busy to meet real women.
That's me.
That's not you.
That is me.
That has nothing to do with
the
you.
The robots are programmed to recognize their owner's face and hold conversations.
You don't like people. That's you.
Yeah, Bean would immediately disable that function in the robot, by the way, the whole conversation function.
I do like robots very much. I'm still intrigued and I'm still in. For $5,000, this is so worth it.
Bean would walk through the door and it would say,
Roman, helmet.
And he's like, yep, let's do it.
If you look on the internet under Love, Sex, Company, and Robot, you can find a picture of the new robot.
Is Sandy.
Dolphin.
Sandy Dolphin. That's your name, actually, oddly enough. Sandy
Tony.
Dolphin.
Dan. Za.
Can't we make that two words? Why does it have to be three words?
Why is it
Tony, Dan, Za?
That's perfect.
Why can't we just type in Danza? Why just can't like the robot say Danza? Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael J. Fox is 50. Don't let him hold the cake.
Come.
I'm just saying. Those candles will go out. Aaron Sorkin's 50 years old today. Johnny Depp turns 48. Natalie Portman celebrates her 30th birthday today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, that was some great fake outrage from the back of the room.
But you should.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning, an all-new program. Frankly, a little too much program tomorrow. We are going to give away the final tickets for the Green Lantern.
Yes!
And you're going to have to stump Ralph to get them, so I don't think that's possible. We have the movie beat, as it is Friday. We're going to talk to you. If you knew it was a mistake when you were walking up the aisle, or down the aisle, or whichever direction you go up the aisle. And you're getting married, you knew it was a mistake before you even said I knew.
Yeah, that's bad.
That seems bad.
A surprising number of people admit after the fact, yeah, I shouldn't have done it. I knew it was a mistake while I was in my wedding, which is just amazing that you don't bolt and run.
Comedian Jim Jefferies on the program tomorrow.
Crikey.
Perhaps the guy that made Super 8, J.J. Abrams, on the show tomorrow.
I love him so much.
And the band Blake 182 on the show tomorrow. Why am I talking so long?
We don't know.